Blog Talk Radio.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay. Names synonymous with the spirit of our country. Founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead. You need God in America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, you can't have national morality apart from religious principle, and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is put God in America again.
The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways,
Abe Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that Word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vex us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is gonna fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. America to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand, and send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from, and let the Word of God revive our dying land. For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all His glory, and every eye shall see Him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power is coming on us, to boldly tell the world you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers. Because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms. And start handing out the Word of God in school.
I know the only hope.
make this an absolute fact. The goal is world peace. That must be our prime responsibility. We are the leader of the free world whether we want to be or not. And therefore, we are the only ones that can preserve the peace. And to do that, we must have strength. Meeting this mission is responsibility for preserving the peace, which I believe is a responsibility peculiar to our country, that we cannot shirk our responsibility as a leader of the free world because we're the only one that can do it.
Blood in the wheels and the snow. Okay. Yeah, we got a good one tonight. Obviously, some events that happened today, so I'll fill you in, obviously. The corruption, the evil, the disgusting lies I witnessed today. The filth, the criminal activity is just disgusting, filthy. You pay a lawyer to represent you, and he argues with you. Oh, I got a story for you. But, I'm going to bear the brunt of it, of course. Justice will never be served. It won't be done. It won't get served. Nothing truthful will come out of it. I'll end up having to pay some way or another, one way or another. You know? So that's how it is. Until the American people rise up and say, enough. Enough of your crimes every day. Enough of your crimes. Every single courthouse that opened up today at 9 a.m., your crimes that you commit against the American people. Every institution across this country that calls themselves a correctional institution, be ashamed of yourself. All the banking institutions that opened up at 9 a.m. this morning, the crimes that they commit with their fractional reserve banking and the interest that they enslave the people with money created out of thin air, nothing. Credit extended by your hand. You're the debt. They put us in a debt the day we're born. Be ashamed of ourselves. Should be ashamed of ourselves as Americans. Ashamed. For real. You know, you can stand on the corner and shout this stuff and know everybody look at you like you had three eyes. You know, like you were an alien or something. But, you know, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Where are the patriots? Where are they? Where are you? I mean, where have you gone? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for Donald Trump? I hate to break it to you, but nothing's going to change. It's not going to be a magical wand he's going to wave, and all of a sudden, boof, we're in heaven. You know? Will the economy turn around? Donald Trump really doesn't really, really control the economy, you know. Federal Reserve does. I mean, really, the Fed, it doesn't take orders from Donald Trump. Okay? That's fact. Fact. And you can get some libtards on here that can argue with me, and, you know, I go over to their shows and argue with them, and, come on, you and Donald Trump, you Republicans, you should be ashamed, you Republicans are racist. You're Nazis, all of you. Yeah, you hear them. Jackasses. Well, America Station's on right now. I told her to call her into her show real quick here. Let's call her up and get her on the line, because go into my story here for today, because I got to... My Facebook is shut down, so I can't even promote the show. You know, that got shut down today, too. So I don't know what the hell's going on. Let's see here, 347. I never understand my own handwriting. 857. I'm bad remembering numbers. I can never remember numbers. 4364. 4364. I told her to put me on. So let's see here. All right. Call her up.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Why you gotta pick on me? No, I'm not doing it. So they whack her. He resigns because he knows what's coming. And then they cyber attack it. And if you don't believe me, go educate yourself. Look up Vault. V as in Victor, A as in Apple, Alpha. V as in Victor, A as in Alpha, U as in Underdog, L as in Larry, T as in Tom, Vault 7. Because they whacked the guy who came out from the deep state that revealed it. He did in Edward Snowden. And he ratted him out. And basically Vault 7 is how they can go in and do cyber attacks and break into systems. And they'll do it so that it looks like it came from Russia or China, that they can bounce around through HTTPs where they have safe houses all around the world So it looks like the attack came from wherever they want it to be. If they got somebody embedded in China, they'll do it from the HTTP there, you know, or they'll do it from Russia. So they can do these cyber attacks. And let me remind the audience, because I want to wrap this up so we can field questions, because I didn't even get to go into treasuries, what the Federal Reserve's agenda is, what they're dealing with and trying to prevent the absolute collapse, which will be 100 times worse than the market collapse in 2008 or 2029. Because if they drop rates, treasury rates are going to shoot through the roof. And don't forget, 30-year mortgage rates follow treasury rates. And we got hyperinflation, which is 15-20%, conservatively speaking. So if you're dealing with 15-20% every day in inflation, you're not going to buy a treasury from the U.S. at 4-5%. You're losing 10%. So they'll have to bring those treasury rates up to compensate for the true inflation to get foreign governments to buy them. Because, see, they already stole all the money out of Social Security. What they were doing is they were taking all the money in the Social Security fund and they were buying treasury bonds with it from the Fed and the Treasury. So, like Fort Knox, there's nothing in there. They took all your Social Security. Do you understand with the Ponzi scam?
Yeah, well, and I say it all the time, real quick, never trust a trust fund. If it says like the highway trust fund, Social Security trust fund, never trust a trust fund.
Not one the government is around, no. So anyway, so here we got this ship. I've given you background, who's involved, who the players are. It's definitely a PSYOP attack, cyber attack. The power on the ship lost power just prior to reaching the bridge. In enough time for it to turn, move the rudder, bring it into, there's two columns on that bridge, which are very vulnerable, that'll take that bridge down. And it's that column it hit, and then the one on the other side. Those are the two most vulnerable. Those are box-engineered steel structures. And they sit on top of those pylons. And that bridge, again, was built in 77. There were already many, many engineering failed inspections, and what a way to stimulate some activity in the economy, another disaster. How dare you question that? How dare you say that? You're with the terrorists, you know, 9/11, right? But anyway, so you got the just prior to reaching the bridge, after the harbor pilot boats, the tugboats pulled away. And the failure of them to escort that ship through the channel completely under the bridge at 1:48 a.m. in the morning when it's pitch dark. That's not standard protocol. So I am moved personally to see it. You have two choices, two possibilities. It is China, and they killed her. Because she's their operative. Or more likely, China and our deep state working on behalf of the globalists to continue the destruction of our country, keep us in chaos. It's predictive programming, selling their dialogue, because they're going to have boogeymen and boogie viruses going into the summer of 24. When you had 9/11, they hit you with the boogeyman. And then a week after 9/11, they hit you with the boogie virus. Remember anthrax? And then they rolled out the experimental anthrax vaccination, which killed 26 military immediately. So they had to shut it down. And then they rolled out the fluoroquinolones, which have fluoride in it, which is, under international law and treaty, illegal, a chemical weapon. It's like mustard gas. But they were producing antibiotics with it, and I am a living victim of it. A lot of my surgeries, because it destroys your muscles, tendons, and ligaments, and your discs between your vertebrae. And it degenerates them, dissolves them, and you'll have muscles ripping right off, which I know personally. This last surgery involved that. And the one prior to that with my shoulder, okay? So you're in physical therapy and you're doing these workouts, and all of a sudden, rip, pop, burn. Oh, no, there goes another one. My surgeons now are all speaking out loudly because they black boxed them. And they put it out there because they've set up another money laundering fund. So you send your name in. And they
yeah,
give you
you're
enough
right.
to
you're
buy
right.
a
I
cup of coffee. And you got to sign off. And they tell the population, we did this, and they're bad, and we're helping the victim. You see the game? And it never ends. Whether it's Agent Orange or Gulf War Syndrome or what they did to all of us at 9/11, they don't want you here. Those are veterans they don't want here. The ones from the first Gulf, Vietnam, they don't, and they don't want 9/11 survivors. Survivors of these false flags, and there's some, too, from the 2003 Middle East War. I mean, look what they did to Tillman, the football player. $1 million a year, and that was back then. He gave it all up for country duty and honor, right? They put 6 bullets in his back because he was calling home and saying, something's not right here. They got guys guarding these guys, sodomizing 13-year-olds, and we're protecting opium fields. What's going on here? And the only reason why we left Afghanistan, we left Afghanistan is because they learned how to take oil, separate the molecules, and create fentanyl out of it. When you go to a hospital, let me give the audience some advice. And believe me, I have experience in this. Make sure when you go in, you write it, you do a, don't do this to me. It's a, I have it here. You've got to know this. It's very important. But you've got to fill this out. I got my folder right here. It's hard for me to move around. I appreciate your patience. We're going to be going to the callers. But it's so important that your audience knows this. All right. It's called a health care directive. And you give 2 people the power of attorney on your behalf. And it's so important with what they did with COVID and remdesivir and ventilators and incubators, okay? So I always had this stuff. And you fill out a healthcare directive, okay? And basically, it's an important legal document. You can fill it out yourself. You can download it. Keep the original document secure in your safe. And then you give the people that are going to the hospital with you a copy. When you get to the hospital register that morning, you bring it to medical records, make them scan it, or bring it before your surgery. So it's in their medical records, okay? And when you fill this thing out, it's very, very important. Have the person that's going to have power of attorney that's going to be there that will speak for you in case you can't, things go bad. And then you put in, like, specific instructions that says no vaccines and or experimental drugs and or synthetic drugs, no incubators, no COVID experimental and or authorized vaccines. You see, you can do experimental drugs under an Emergency Power Act by authorizing them. That's what they did in COVID, okay? Never went through the mandatory FDA studies. Put on there specifically, no remdesivir, no fentanyl, you know, no Dilaudid, no synthetic drugs. My body freaks out when you put anything synthetic in it. I think it's why I've survived so long from 9/11, because I'm very pure, you know, when it comes to my body. And you put anything in it, it freaks out. But a health directive, go online, look it up. Florida has a great one, the state of Florida. They did a great job. You look up health directive. Every state should have it. You should have one on file. Every hospital you've been to, your primary doctor should have a copy of it. I mean, mine includes any vaccines, you know, from flu to anything, because now they're, you know, pushing out all kinds of vaccines for cancer, this or that. Meanwhile, they're the ones causing it. So with that said, the 2 possibilities were China or China working with our current illegitimate administration in USA deep state. And that's what I'm moved to see it as a combination of both to destroy our country.
Yeah.
Because already China controls the West Coast ports because of Pelosi, Newsom, Feinstein, Waters, governors of Washington and Oregon too. Destroy a country's ports and take control of them. You control the commerce and infrastructure. You control everything coming in and going out, including their Navy. Now, it's important to know that Baltimore, that port, has a massive railroad yard, just like New Orleans and Kansas. And most of those containers end up in that railroad on railroad cars that take it west to the western border of Maryland to a city, I think it's Cumberland. It's right on U.S. 81, federal highway, odd numbers north and south, even numbers east and west, like 10, 20. They run east and west, Jacksonville to Los Angeles, 10, federal Interstate 10. So 81 is right down the middle, and it goes right from Cumberland. You take it all the way up into Pennsylvania, and then you pick up 84 and head east to New York. So you got Pennsylvania, and you pick it up right in Virginia, at the corner of the western border of North Carolina and I think Virginia and Tennessee, where they come together. No, Virginia,
that's the way I go.
I think it is. You have to look at a map. But the point is,
yeah,
you get into Cumberland, Maryland, you will see warehouses as big as cities. I don't mean an area of warehouses as big as a city. I mean warehouses as big as a city. And I'm talking Amazon and Costco and Kohl and Target and Amazon. I think I said that. And Walmart. And not only that, all your national and international equipment companies, Caterpillar, Komatsu, all that.
Yeah.
And also your national trucking companies with their distribution centers. And it all goes there. And then from there, you got to understand that it distributes out to regional warehouses.
No.
In certain locations in certain states. Because you have to understand, a large number of the vehicles exported out of this country go out of Baltimore. And the largest number of cars coming in are imported through Baltimore. Now, what's feeding into Baltimore? Well, let's see. You got Hyundai and Kia, BMW, Mercedes, and they're in Alabama. They're in Georgia. They're in South Carolina, North Carolina. So what they do is those parts come in from Japan. Those parts come in from South Korea, and they go into the Kia factory or the Hyundai factory. I think Kia's in Alabama, and Hyundai is in Georgia.
Hyundai.
South Carolina, I think, is BMW, and North Carolina is Mercedes, or it's reverse. But anyway, those parts coming in on those containers, they go in those railroad yards of Baltimore, they go to 81, they're shipped down to those factories down there, and they're not factories, they're assembly plants. What those places get are parts, and they put the cars together. Because it's all about quotas and import quotas and how they get around them. Okay? So now you get a finished product, and now they got to go back on the railroads, and they got to end up back in Baltimore and shipped out. The cars come in. They also go there, and then they get distributed.
I'll be telling
my
what happened today here shortly.
So it's massive, and I mean massive. So now, in top of the hazardous materials and the cars, I think it was like 750,000 annually, and then all the commerce, access to Annapolis, it is 95, and everything that it's going to disrupt, it certainly will create their manufacturing activity and hire some people for a while, but we got to keep printing trillions to pay for it. So you're devaluating the currency. When you devaluate a currency, it's because you increase the money supply, and when you increase the money supply, that inflation devalues the currency and drives up the interest rate on your treasury instruments and lowers the quality of life. Does that make sense?
Well, it's they're going to destroy this country from inside or whatever it takes. And this is where it goes back to the enemies from within. It's the enemies from within. Now, when we get to the thing with the ship, the thing that I was talking to other people about is like, I said, there's something else. The power lights, the power flicking on and off right before they hit the thing, that didn't mean anything to me. That was all. That was grandstanding or whatever you want to call it.
No, it should mean everything to you, because if the ship is being driven, autopilot, look at what's going on in your airplanes now. They're all autopilot. They've been, listen, after 9/11, I told you, everything went from analog to digital. The
Correct.
Planes, you understand?
Correct.
The
my point is, it didn't get off course at the last 2 minutes before it hit the thing. It was, I mean, before, it's not like a ship goes, you know, 100 miles down the river, the harbor. The thing that got me is, when did it first get off course? I mean, it doesn't go and just get that far off course at the last minute, is what I was really saying. And that's why I didn't, to me, I didn't pay as much attention to that piece of it as that, well, wait a minute, this had to be happening for a long time. They didn't just fly into that pylon.
Well, you need to pay attention to it, and here's why. And I'll send you the GPS, like air traffic controller, satellite video on it, where it shows the lines, just like you see on with planes, air traffic controller, and the radar.
Yeah, I want to see the exact pattern. That's exactly it. I want to see when it first started going off and how they never corrected it.
Exactly. And what's key to this is the tugboats pull away first. You see, here's what you got to remember. When you do a false flag, it is a CIA Hollywood script written in advance. So they're writing it not so much for it to be feasible, but they're writing it in a way with what your eyes see and your brain processes based on what your eyes see based on emotion and what they feed into it, predictive programming, stepping back, no emotions, and critical and cognitive thinking. And then seeing actually what you saw in this picture. It's like stepping out of the picture to be objective. If you're inside a picture and you're emotional, you can't see what the picture is projecting. So, again, I reiterate, it takes about a mile to stop a ship like that, and it had no business doing 8.5 knots in that channel.
Yeah.
Approaching that view.
Yeah.
Number two, the show with the lights, you are correct, because it was already off course and it was headed to that pylon. The lights going on and off, losing power, was for the movie effects.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Well, that's what I said along. It's like, you're about to hit the pylon. It's a little bit late for to show us that the power is going on and off. That's a little bit late. What happened? How far back, how many miles back did you first start having problems?
Well, it wasn't even miles. It doesn't take that long. If you turn that rudder at 8.5 knots, you've already set that course. And if you go geometry and the way, you know, you have a designation and you have something 200 million pounds and you've now turned that rudder and now you've taken it over to the right, to the east, X number of degrees, the amount of distance it's now going to take to correct it is significant. So it's pointed off course. They do the lights on and off after the boats, tugboats leave. There was only one tugboat at that time. It's off course. It's 8.5 knots. And then the final boat leaves. Then they flash the lights and the power goes off. But it's already off course heading to the pylon. So I believe it was only for effects to tell the story. And then here's one more thing. They drop one of the anchors. Standard protocol is you drop both anchors. So why did you only drop one? Another thing is down in the engine room, it is standard on a ship like that that they have generators that kick on, boom, automatically. And the engineer down in the engine room,
that's where the lights were,
takes control of the ship and has control of the rudder and can turn it. Now, the fact that they dropped an anchor, it tells me they still were in control of that ship. And they could have dropped the other anchor. Now, if they had dropped the other anchor, trust me, that's what you do to stop it right away. You get those massive anchors to drop.
Yeah.
And the water's not that deep there. I think it was 30 feet. I could be wrong. But the size, go to a harbor sometime and look at these merchant ships. I remember back in the day when I was a little kid off the West Side Highway, Midtown, where the Enterprise aircraft carrier from World War II is a museum in New York. No, is it the Intrepid? The Intrepid. It's there as a museum, and you can go on it. Well, I remember as a little kid, there was this massive ship in there. It was the biggest ships in the world at the time. They were merchant ships. They were built in South Korea. Okay? And it was repossessed. And it was sitting there. And you have to understand something, that these ships, that ship was like, I think, 3 football fields. You got to understand what 93,000 tons, I didn't say 93,000 pounds, I said 93,000 tons it weighed. That's, a ton is 2,000 pounds. It was 200 million pounds of inertia, force, moving in one direction without power. And only one anchor dropped. And to be honest with you, the side they dropped that anchor on actually aided the course of the ship going into the pylon.
Yeah. Because
they dropped it on the starboard side. Yeah. I'm not sure. I got to go back and look. But so the other stuff was effects for the story they were going to tell. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. I just in the very beginning when it all happened, I was already suspicious. And you know, there's some people who don't believe in conspiracies or coincidences. I don't believe in coincidences, and there are conspiracies. This is a conspiracy to take down this country. It's a group of people trying to cause harm to others, and that's what this is all about. It's about the destruction of this country, as far as I'm concerned. That's what I see here. I don't.
And then
when you start peeling back and you see how China and the transport and this and this, when you see all of it together. You know, once again, apply just a little bit, just a teeny bit of critical thinking out there for those who don't get this stuff. It doesn't take much to see this. We are truly under attack, and so much of it is from within. And it kind of goes back to what Abraham Lincoln said. He said we'd never be destroyed from outside. It'd be from within, and this is it. And we already knew it was the Pearl Harbor thing. They couldn't destroy us from outside, you know, and so it's from within. Go ahead.
Yeah, and they put a bullet. They put a bullet in the back of his head after he said it, and they put a bullet in Kennedy's head after he set forth the executive order to audit and shut down the Fed, to shut down the CIA, break it into 1,000 pieces, and he told Israel, "You stop your nuclear bomb creation over there because we're going to come in and bomb you if you don't stop. You're in violation of international law." Israel was secretly making nuclear bombs with our technology that the British stole from us and gave to them. The British were stealing our nuclear secrets, and they gave them to Pakistan. They gave them to India. They gave them to the Soviet Union. The British monarch has been our enemy since 1700s, and it's never changed. And that's another thing Americans are so damn dumb about. Did you know that Florida refused to jump into the Revolutionary War with the other 13 colonies, that Britain had taken control of Florida then with a treaty with Spain over one of its wars over Cuba? Britain took control of Cuba, so part of the deal was Spain gave them Florida, which also consisted of Alabama and Mississippi, as well as Florida, in exchange to Britain giving back Cuba to Spain. So then Britain, and there were not many people there, but they were all redcoats there, okay, in Florida, and there weren't that many. But they fought on the side of the British monarch. They actually were invited into Philadelphia, the Continental Congress, and they were asked to come in. But they said no, and a lot of them that lived there volunteered and fought with the Redcoats against us in the Revolutionary War. And then we ended up getting Florida back when Spain got into another war with Britain. And the exchange was Britain got the Bahamas and Spain got Florida back. And then we got Spain back from we got Florida back from Spain.
Who cares?
Most people don't know history.
No, they don't. Then and it's actually kind of funny when it comes to Florida people. We have a lot of Hispanics, obviously, and there's people. Some say we should be speaking Spanish as our native tongue because of all this history. But it's a crazy situation. It really is. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you what. I say this to that. Don't fall for the propaganda. You're being manipulated. Because remember one thing: they're trying to destroy Christianity. They're trying to destroy God. They're trying to destroy family. And what do you think Spaniards and people of Spanish descent come from? They come from that church, Christianity, the Catholic Church.
Yep,
they come
do.
From family. They come from God. They come from family. But they're constantly hitting you every day about the drug cartels, who are CIA created, and MS-13. And yes, that is true. They exist. They're bad. Our CIA created them. They could have destroyed them all back in the 80s with Noriega in the 90s. No, they didn't. They used it because they were planning for the future to use them against us. Remember Fast and Furious with Eric Holder and the guns down there with Obama in 2010? Okay.
Yep.
And they gave
them
all to the drug cartels. Okay, that's a fact.
And I'll tell you.
So,
well, it is. It's definitely the enemies from within. There's no two ways they've got to do that. What's that?
Listen, if you remember in the Revolutionary War, and I'll say this quick, and maybe we can take callers, but the Revolutionary War, the way we got the Hessians to turn around and fight with our side was because we had a lot of Germans here up in Pennsylvania and Germantown in those areas that spoke their language. And we're able to tell them, hey, what are you doing? You're a slave. You're a slave mercenary. Be free here. You could be with us. Freedom. You could have your own farm. You could have your own family. And they were like, you know what? You're right. And they came with us and turned on Britain. And what I'm saying is, if you want a solution, learn how to speak Spanish. Learn how to use cryptocurrency every day and a few things you do, buying gas or whatever, because you can get into and you study it. There's a book, I think it's the Countdown. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a website right now everybody needs to go to, because I'm going to tell you something. You need to learn how to operate in silver, gold, and cryptocurrencies. And I'm not promoting them. I'm just telling you, summer 2024, this is the last summer. That's it. You may not see election. They're coming at us with a boogie virus and a boogeyman. I'm telling you right now, they filled the country up. They could pick whatever flavor they want to say did it. But if you want to learn all about cryptocurrencies, because there's ones that are total privacy and you can use for daily transactions. And then there are other ones, you know, like from Bitcoin and Litecoin, and you can get a Monero and all these things. You go do your studying there. The website is DAY, which is D as in David, A as in Alfred, Y as in yellow, 2024.com. Okay?
Okay.
Just go there. Do whatever you want. But DAY2024.com. And then there's another website I'm going to give you right now, and I'm going to tell you something very interesting, and then it's up to you. We're going to call it. But I want to get this in too. So it's day2024.com. I got 10 copies of the books. I'm handing them out. And my goal always has been limit where you are, diversify. You can buy the gold backs, which are sheets of gold, which are like $70 or whatever, things like that, then you got your gold that is storage value, okay? Same thing for silk. And the same thing for cryptocurrency. You want to have one that is an offshoot of Bitcoin, because Bitcoin has one that's for everyday use, Bitcoin Cash, and you can use for daily transactions, buying gas, things like that. You need to get into the habit of using something else to transact free market transactions. Make sense? Because when they crash everything, you better be bartering. You better know how to barter. You better know how to use crypto. You better know how to use gold and silver. I'm telling you right now, you're not prepared if you're not knowing how to do it. So start now. Start small. Go there, that website. I just gave you very valuable information.
Plenty okay, what's the second website? It was one website was day2024.com, and I thought you were going to mention another one. What's the other one?
Yes, I'm coming with that, and here's what I'm going to tell you. We still have a chance to take this country back, but I don't believe in the American people. I believe they've destroyed a large portion of the veterans. I think he destroyed a lot of the population with pornography, alcohol, drugs. I mean, 70 million people are on disability, and that's including these veterans with PTSD. Okay?
Yeah.
I was inside the World Trade Center towers, both of them, when they blew them up, when the bombs started going off inside. I can tell you that. I lived it. I was in them. I know what they did. I know what they did.
Yeah.
I don't
it's all planned. People just have to understand it's all planned. Let me know when you get that other website, and we got as soon as you get that website, then I'll go and start taking some calls.
Right, here's what I want to tell you real quickly, Sally, and I will give you the law firm. Matter of fact, if you go to this site, one of the top law firms in this country have proven through FOIA. Took them many years because they were refusing to give them the information. And here's the information. And this probably, remember, I would never kill myself. I would never commit suicide. Mm. Nothing. So if something happens, you know what's going down, and you people better wake up because you don't have much time.
And they can get buried next to me.
Every single cabinet member, right up to the president, is illegitimate. It is, in fact, true and proven. And documented by one of the top legal firms in this country that none of them have taken an oath and signed a written statement oath. That means the Department of Transportation, Buttlicker, whatever his name is. What's his name?
Whose name?
The director
you're saying I know what you're talking about in reference to. Well, I know basically that nobody ends up truly taking a sworn oath when they get into office.
But there's no written statement. Listen, this was really emphasized starting with Benedict Arnold. Then after the Civil War, because of the Confederacy, it was absolute no options, no waivers, no nothing. You had to swear oath to your loyalty to the union. So what I'm telling you right now is your whole cabinet, your directors of agencies and everything, Department of Transportation, your Department of Justice, your head of DHS, what's his name, the weird name, Department of Homeland Security.
Maracas, Maracas.
None of them have taken the oath and signed a sworn statement. So
Because they're not elected. None of them are elected, and none of them they're outside of that process. They truly are outside of it. That's why we got to get rid of all these stupid agencies.
Here's what it is, Sally, and then we're going to questions. If you haven't signed the oath, you can't be tried for treason. It's just like so what I'm telling you is this. Every Border Patrol has no excuse violating their oath they took to the Constitution. Number one, it violates the Constitution. Number two, their bosses, right up to the top, are illegitimate. They have no authority. And they should be saying straight out, they should come together as a union and protest, I want to see the written note. I want to see the statement signed. I want to see your legitimacy. That has to happen for every single agency. That's why I told Trump from day one, the day after your inauguration, the first thing you have to do is fire the 10,000 communist lawyers in the Department of Justice that Clinton hired Because the day after Clinton's inauguration, he fired 10,000 lawyers in the Department of Justice. Bush kept them. Every president has the authority to reverse every executive order by every president before him, right back to George Washington. And I told Trump at his last rally, here's a list. This is your punch list. Do automatically with executive order power. He never did it. So with that, just remember, they're not legit.
No.
They haven't signed a statement. There's no oath to speak, nothing. So if you want to go to questions, roll.
Okay. Well, did you, I'm sorry, did you find that second law website?
Oh, my God. I apologize.
And then we're taking questions.
This should be easy to remember. It is VAX with two X's. VAX, like in vaccine. It is VAX, V-A-X-X.
Okay.
Like in the
poison
jab VAX. So VAX, V-A-X-X, and then the word choice. D as in cat, H as in Harry, O as in Oreo, I as in if, C as in cat, E as in Edward, .com.
VaxChoice.com.
Okay.
I have actually heard of that website before. I don't think I
saw
that I ever actually went to it, but I have definitely heard of that. Yep.
Well, that's the law firm. You can do your research about none of them being legitimate. And I know what they've been doing since 2009, because you can't impeach and try a president for treason if he's not a citizen. That's why the Republicans in Congress during the Obama administration never did it, because it would have revealed what I just said.
Yeah, the impeachment doesn't make any sense. The whole mess is whether there's an element of treason or not because of aiding the enemy routine. That's a whole other question. We'll save that one for another show. Because
remember Kenneth Starr? Remember Kenneth Starr with the Clinton?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. Kenneth Starr wasn't even legitimate. He never signed a note, no statement. You can look that up.
Yep, it's disgusting. And the ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is expensive and harmful to our well-being. And this is where it goes down to my favorite expression, and then I just opened the mic for Karen, so we'll get Karen in here. But this is, I say it over and over again, Jefferson's quote, if you expect the nation to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and can never be. We have become so ignorant, so clueless, we can't be free if we're going to stay this ignorant about things. With that being said, Karen, welcome to the show, and you know Ricky well. You've interviewed him on Blog Talk Radio in the past and everything else, and he knows the stuff. So what are you thinking? Any other comments you want to add to what he's been discussing?
Well, I first of all thank you, Ricky, for all of the information. While you were talking, a flash came on my computer, and news flash, it seems as though the mayor of Baltimore last year hired as a consultant a woman by the name of, I think it's Katarina, and she is an expert in DIE. She's an expert. Her company specializes in diversity and inclusion and equity, and she was hired to run the Port Commission. And she's going to be in charge of making sure that all of our kids get there on time. She's in charge now. I can hardly wait. And I wonder if she had anything to do with the port, probably. Another DEI wonderment. We also found out, you mentioned before about illegals. It seems as though, according to Todd Benzman, that the government is flying illegals into America without checking any passports or anything. They're giving them working status when they get here. They have so far discovered 425,000 illegals dispersed throughout the country. But you will all be happy to know that 320,000 thousand of them have come to Florida. Isn't that
yes,
nice?
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's
Isn't
correct.
That wonderful? That is terrific. And my last tidbit of information is, excuse me, Paul Ingracia, who works, I believe it was for Breitbart, but I'm not sure. So don't hold me to where he is a reporter. But he's a reporter, and he has discovered that there is a real revenge of the swamp critters going on in our Congress. And Paul Singer, who is a hedge fund manager and has done much to We Hate Trump and to be an anti-Trumper, has gone around to the representatives and asked them if they retire early, then he will give them $1 million and a position.
Yep.
And it's like
he's
Kevin
an enemy
McCarthy.
Combatant.
He's an enemy combatant. And that's why we have all of these, quote, statesmen who are really nothing more than disgusting criminal critters leaving Congress early so that the Congress will flip to a Democrat majority, and then they can rush through a bill that will keep Trump off of the ballot due to the 14th Amendment.
And that should violate your pension. That should violate your pension. Karen, that should violate they shouldn't be able to collect your pension or health care benefits.
You were both talking. Hold on a second. Having a hard time. I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Ricky, what were you saying back to that? And then we'll go back to you, Karen.
I said any congressman that does that should have their Cadillac lifetime health care benefits taken away. They should have their pension taken away. And they should be tried for treason. And they should be also held under the RICO Act of racketeering.
Well, that was what I thought Singer should be under the RICO Act of racketeering. He should be held accountable for that.
Oh, absolutely.
But then you have to have a DOJ that believes in this. So nothing will be done. And that's their goal, is to make sure that nothing is done and that Trump is off of the ballot, no matter how they do it. And the real heavy one that's coming up, the real travesty of all of this, is Mike Gallagher. And I was trying to find out if Mike Gallagher was endorsed by Trump, because he is a new recruit for Congress. And he is going to leave on April 19th, which means that the governor of Wisconsin, who also is a Democrat, will not have to pick, will not be able to hold a special election to fill his seat. So that seat will remain vacant. And there's another loss. So the Democrats, I have to say, hand it to them. They never stop. They never close. They will never give up when they have their sights on someone. And they manage the idiots in our Congress to get rid of George Santos. For no reason at all, and basically because he was a Trumper, so that getting him was high on their priority list, and they are now dwindling down so that we have, I believe, we will have by the time all of these retirees go and work for Singer, we will have a one-seat majority, which I'm sure they'll find one more idiot to retire. And
There was one. Let me ask you something real quick there. I don't know if it's the same state. I'm trying to remember, but there was one state that was out there trying to pass, or I think they may have even passed, some kind of reg or legislation at the state level saying that the governor could not appoint somebody. I know they were trying, and I thought they were trying to block that from happening. I don't know if that's the case or not, but
the governor in Wisconsin would never appoint anybody because he's a Democrat. So and the House and the Senate in Wisconsin is Republican, but I don't know if it's if they have enough to override his veto. And I think that what they were trying to do was to say that the governor could appoint someone, and then therefore he would be a Democrat, so that the governor would be able to appoint a Democrat. instead of a Republican, so they would lose a seat that way. I think that was the goal, and I think Johnson is so disgusting, I'm ready to scream. But that won't do any good. Of course you can't. It doesn't make any difference. But we have a real, this is really serious warfare, and they have inflicted more harm on this country in 4 years than one can possibly imagine. The only good news is, and I always like to have some little good news there, is hopefully these people in America will take a look at, see what is going on in Europe. And the farmers in Europe have ignited a firestorm throughout the entire EU. And the EU is backing off a lot of their regulations of what they would have been forcing the farmers to do, which would be to kill a lot of their herd and put 30% of their crop, making it lie fallow so it could go back to wilding. So that looks like it is on hold, but we know with them that when it's on hold, it's never really on hold. It just comes back with a new name. But it's the beginning. And the other good thing was that the farmer coalition that was put together in the Netherlands, of all places, has now taken over their government. The farmer coalition has superseded all expectations, which is good news. So hopefully there's always hope. In Canada, they are already demonstrating against the hate speech law that Trudeau wants to pass. So hope that police...
Canada's about to have its own revolution, too. It's the world is imploding all over the place. Here, we the people here, the United States of America, we're supposed to be the example. Right now, it looks like we need to be following these others that seem to be doing more than we are, even though finally we have woken up a few people. So we have to... And then the divine intervention. Now, I'm telling you, watch some of the watch some of those videos of the links that I put in the show page, and getting a different appreciation for the messaging that's being sent through, like the bridge thing that just happened. It's something is happening here. The question is, are we going to be strong enough to survive it? There's definitely going to be a group of us who will survive, because we're not going to comply and we're not going to cave into this stuff. Not like so many who still wear masks. Believe it or not, today I went to an office. The person was wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask behind a plastic shield.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You know.
And I want to point out something. Canada
you are now in the host queue
right now because they're in a recession. They couldn't hide it anymore. So they're in a huge recession. The UK's in recession. Germany's in massive recession. We're the world currency, so they keep printing. But I can assure you, everybody's feeling it now.
Yes, and one other comment. Johnson, to make it palatable to send money to the Ukraine, is deciding to take the Russian oligarch's money. Now, usually when that's done, it's held someplace. Well, he wants to take that money and convert it into cash and give it to Ukraine. And if he does that, the dollar will be in the toilet, and any country that invests in America would have to be nuts.
Do you understand what that'll do to our currency? It'll be finished. Do you understand what that'll do for BRICS?
Mm-hmm.
44 more countries now have signed up to be part of BRICS. You're looking at 50% of the world GDP. Population, I don't have to tell you. You got India and China in there alone. That's 2.8 billion. You look at the resources and the technology. We're being set up, and the American people are laying down. I just gave information out tonight that none of these people, not one political appointee, none of them the cabinet members, right up to Biden, has signed their necessary mandatory written statement oath so that they can't be tried for treason for all this. So my point to you is every mid-level and lower-level employee in the federal government, including Border Patrol and all these fake agencies, which are illegal, Homeland Security, ATF, and all the rest, all these employees can refuse any order handed down, any memo, any policy, anything. The problem is on our border with Mexico, the majority of those Border Patrol are Mexican nationals. I know that firsthand, and I'm not going to get into it, but I will tell you this. Their priority language is actually Spanish, and they know the people on the other side. They don't know the Americans on this side. And they are there. You get that feeling that they'll protect them, not you. And I had an altercation. They don't want you taking any pictures, nothing. You're on U.S. soil.
Yeah.
And they're telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's beyond
it's
your imagination. They, you know, look, they went on steroids with their goals, as Sally speaks to, in 2009. In the schools, the tranny transvestite movement, okay? I'm going to ask one thing tonight. It's like when you go into the store and you order cheddar cheese and they say to you, do you want yellow or white? And I'm like, well, I don't see any yellow. I see orange and white. And they're like, no, that's yellow. I'm like, all right, hold on a second. I go and get an orange and I go and get a lemon, okay? And I'm like, okay, listen, what color is this? They go, orange. I go, very good. What color is this? Yellow. Okay. Now, put it next to that orange cheddar cheese. I said, the point here is they've been brainwashing us on everything.
Brainwashing.
Rabbits don't lay eggs, and they certainly don't. Eggs don't come in chocolate. Okay? So wake up, people. I mean, you
okay.
know.
We got three. I got actually four people still out there. We're running out of time, so I'm going to put this looks like Sarge out here. See if Sarge has been waiting. And there's been some stuff put in the chat, too, and I apologize. I haven't been reading the chat as much as I should have. I apologize. Looks like Joe was trying to call in, too. It's been a little bit crazy, but we've been trying to cover a lot of information. So, again, apologies for not getting everybody quite engaged as soon as possible. Sarge, are you there?
Repetition.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. I've been listening avidly. This is one of your most informative shows. I don't know if I agree with everything. I agree with most of it. It's certainly well stated. And I really appreciated him bringing up the issue of the natural-born citizen and what constitutes an Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5, natural-born citizen qualified to be president. We just had Robert F. Kennedy pick a woman, one of her, whose mother was not an American citizen at the time she was born. So here we have it again. Now we've got rumors that Donald Trump, who I intend to vote for, may pick Tulsi Gabbard, who's also not a natural-born citizen. I'm getting sick of this. We need to have an Article 3 court make a determination as to what is an Article 2, Section 1, qualified natural-born citizen, qualified to be president, because the Supreme Court has never directly ruled on that issue before, but they have ruled on it peripherally in other cases, like Wong Kim Mok versus U.S., Minor versus Hackensack, the Venus Merchantman case of 1814, and it's high time to get to the court so we can finally have a definitive answer. I'm sick of this.
I agree with you, Sergeant, and the reason why they won't do it is because of what you just said. And they know if it gets in a courtroom, everything you just said will be rendered in the decision. So they don't allow it into the court so they can keep doing what they're doing. And the American people, when they were asked in the very beginning, how much tyranny do you think the people will tolerate? As much as they will tolerate, right?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, what really bugs me about this issue is not that people disagree with you. And I mean, people can make principled arguments that will disagree with me, even though I know they're wrong. What irritates me to no end is the way they ridicule you and scoff at you and act like you're insane for bringing the issue up. When look, I can summarize the purpose of this provision in the Constitution quite simply, because Barack Obama is the living, breathing testament is why the framers of the Constitution put it in there. Here's how you can summarize it very simply. The reason we have the natural born provision in the Constitution is to minimize the likelihood of a foreign-born parent, particularly a father, exercising undue influence on the office of President of the United States, particularly when that person owes allegiance to a foreign sovereign. That was the reason for it. Because the framers of the Constitution, here's another thing that bugs these people. The framers of the Constitution, for the most part, were patriarchs. They believed that the citizenship of the children was the citizenship of the father. That's why they put it in there, because they were particularly concerned about a father. It was both parents, truly, but particularly the father, because they believed the child followed the citizenship of the father, because they had taken Emmerich J. Vattel's definition for natural-born citizen right from the Law of Nations, paragraph 212, section F, that is quoted in its entirety in the Venus Merchantman case when they defined what a natural-born citizen was.
Wow. Why can't all Americans be like this citizen? Obviously, you serve. Thank you for your service. You are a true veteran if you're not active still.
Well, I'm not anymore, but in my mind I am. I took an oath to the Constitution.
You took an oath
twice.
For life.
Yeah, and as a National Guardsman, I took it three times every time I reenlisted. And, you know, I still take it seriously.
You're supposed to.
Amen.
Everybody's supposed to.
Okay. Well, and hopefully we'll be able to get back to you, but let me go ahead and take another call. Let's see. John, are you out there? Are you still out there? I see you out there. Are you there? John, if you're there, you're talking on mute.
Me?
Okay. And let's see here. I think this is Boyd. And again, apologize.
Yeah.
I haven't gone through the stuff in the chat. Boyd,
I can't
there?
Press one.
You got a very good memory, Sally. I just can't believe it.
I have a good cheat sheet.
That's awesome.
At least I admitted it to you. I have a cheat sheet.
Ahead. That's good. You know, there was a couple of points I wanted to comment on. One of them happens to be the bridge in Baltimore that now has five fast supply ships that belong to the United States Navy trapped behind the bridge.
Yes, I forgot that.
And those you know, four ships are what supports Navy fleets out there on patrol.
Taiwan. Taiwan, if China makes its move.
Well, you know, we got those are the ones for the Atlantic and the Far East fleets. You know, they've got a whole separate fleet of fast supply ships on the Pacific coast. You know, wherever they got them based, you know. I didn't even know that, you know, Baltimore was where those guys were getting their supplies from.
Yeah.
But they have, you know, with four of them trapped in there right now, they have seriously downgraded the capability of our fleet out there, especially the aircraft carriers. I mean, these are the ships that go out and resupply the aircraft carriers with fuel for the jets, munitions for the planes, you know, and their food supply and stuff. I mean, those jets, you know, don't fly on nuclear power. They got to fly on JP-4.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's another issue there. And, you know, they need to clear the channel as fast as they can. Damn torpedoes. Get those channel open so those ships can get out there.
That's right.
You know, because I'm sure they do kind of a round robin. One is out, going out, and one is coming back in. You know.
You have two
and they're
priorities.
Always on the move.
You have two priorities.
Yeah.
Number one priority is clear that channel for military reasons. As I mentioned, control the other person's ports. You control their commerce and you control their Navy. And that's number one priority. That has to be removed. There should be cranes in there immediately. And that stuff should be moved out of there to open up those channels.
Yep. And, you know,
saying it's going to take them how many years? Isn't there some garbage you're saying about how many years it's going to take for them to get, yeah.
Well, that's to get the bridge up. Who cares about putting a new bridge up? First get the channel cleared so the ships can get out, you know. There was something else I was going to say in it. God damn it, Sally, where's your cheat sheet?
Sorry.
Damn it.
Sorry about But don't you feel so much safer knowing that our Secretary of Transportation is right on the job? Doesn't that make you proud?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, from Gary, Indiana.
Well, while you're trying to remember what you're going to say, I'm going to throw something else out there, too, and I should have said this when Sarge was talking. Just as a quick note, because people keep talking about Rubio or whoever else here in Florida about being the VP, which Rubio wouldn't be qualified either. His parents were both Cubans when he was born here.
Exactly.
So he doesn't qualify either. But the other thing is, in reference to having two people, the president and vice president from the same state, everything I understand on the Constitution, and Sarge, and I'm sure Ricky can respond to this too, that it's my understanding they can't be from the same state because it's something to do with the electors cannot vote for two people from the same state. So just people understand, Rubio if we go and let Rubio be that, then you'd lose half your votes. So you wouldn't, be stupid.
Well,
it's
right there in the 12th Amendment and the 20th Amendment. It's right in there. It's clear as day. It says, the electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom at least shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. How come it's clear? Can you get to that?
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the way I understand it, okay, and the way you stated it is, the parties elect their electors, okay, and the electors then vote for that. But the thing that. The way you read that to me and the way I understand it is that neither the president nor the vice president, no matter which state they're from, can be elected as electors from their respective states, you know, because they're running for office and they can't vote for themselves.
I think both things are in there. I think both are actually covered. Both of those scenarios are covered. I believe that's the case. I have to go look in and to recite it exactly, but that was my understanding. We do have one more caller, so I want to go ahead and go ahead for another minute.
The 20th Amendment spoke to that and changed that to the amendment was the one that said the electors can't be there, but the 20th Amendment said that they can't be the same.
And also, to as Sarge was saying, too, the other thing is it's not the parties that select the electors by the Constitution. It's the states that select the electors, and it's the states who corrupt it and let these two corrupt organizations, private organizations called the DNC and the RNC, to own that ballot box for the presidency. And it's totally disgusting. So it's not the parties are given power because of the corruption of the state level. The state should not be handing over our presidential elections to two corrupt private entities, which is what they've done. Okay, I'll rest my case on that one. And now this is a caller number I don't recognize, 0005. And we are, and just for everybody's knowledge, we have about 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes here, 9 minutes. And when we hit that magic hour, because we're in overtime right now, the signal will be lost and the show will go away no matter what we do. We can keep talking ourselves, but no, some of you won't hear anything. Okay, anyway, 0005, can we get your first name, please?
No, Joe.
Joe. Oh, hey, Joe.
Joe Gibson, yeah. I told you I was calling in from my show.
Yep, you called in on a different number. You messed me up.
yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's it. So much discussed tonight and subjects going over. But one key point, too much repetition, but one key point he did bring up was the oath of office thing, which I've been shouting for years, the corporate actors in Washington, D.C. They're not really they're part of the corporation. They don't represent us. You know, they're not constitutional du jour republic senators and congressmen. And when they jumped that out of their seats in the 39th Congress and they never reconvened, then that's it. You know, everything's been unlawful and unconstitutional since. Every single action, everything they passed, and everything they've done. And we see it clearly anyway, what's happened throughout the years, all the things that they've perpetrated upon the American people without their consent. Remember, they're our employees, you know? But how many times do we treat them like that? They don't serve us anymore. You don't see police cars with protect and serve anymore written on the cars. They don't serve us. They don't work for us, and you have no constitutional rights. You think you may do, but you don't. Because, you know, me and Sarge got into a big debate about that, you know, you don't. I mean, it's obvious. It's self-evident. Look what they're doing. Everything they do, the spending that they do, illegitimate. They'll send $60 billion over to Ukraine, yet we have people in our streets starving to death. What logic does that make? It's just insanity. But, yeah, we sit back and we allow it. You know, so, you know, that's my main goal is I would like to hear what are the solutions. What can we do to change and reverse this situation we're in? Back at you.
Okay, well, Ricky, do you want to chime in?
Listen, he's spot on. Like I said, none of their oaths are being executed, nor are the written statements that they have to sign to those oaths to avoid treason. They know what their agenda is. It has been planned. Nothing is coincidence. Everything is always planned and well thought out by your enemy, the devil, whatever you want to call them. Remember, there's no in-between. There is no trade-off. There is no agreement in the middle. Their goal, the only way they can have a new world order, world government, is to take this country down, take God down, take the family down, take our norms, our values, our borders, our sovereignty, and the Constitution down, as well as your Bill of Rights. The only way they could do this, and I said this back in 2009, you put somebody in that's not a citizen, you can't try them for treason. You can't, you look at a bank, they have no recourse if they give a loan to the illegals, non-citizens, because you can't try them in the courts of this country. They're not a citizen of this country. And the same goes with what they've done stacking the deck in Washington, D.C., and the only way out of this, and it is a solution, and if we can start getting these employees who basically have become zombies because they get free medical. They made all the federal employees, well, the majority of them, especially in the cabinet and what have you, exempt from getting the experimental poisonous shot. They get all kinds of benefits. It's all paid with the world currency. But the middle levels in the military, the lower levels also, and the middle levels and lower levels in the government can push back and say, no. Show me your papers. And this whole thing will fall apart. These politicians are all degenerate psychopaths, deviants. They run whichever way the wind is. They're bought and paid every single day. So I'm with him. I agree with him. It is part of the plan. In addition to boogie viruses, boogeymans, and crashing the currency.
Well, and I'll go back to follow up to what Joe was saying, and as you were saying all through this the show tonight, The summer of 2024 is going to be rough. This is where we're going to have to not comply with the crap they try to pull on us and be prepared. You better be able to survive on your own as much as possible, which people the average young person thinks that if you – Where do you buy a head of lettuce? Or where does lettuce come from? Oh, it comes from the grocery store. They think it grows in the grocery store off a tree in there or something, whatever. They have no clue. You have these people, especially these younger people, who are totally clueless. And there's only going to be this smaller generation that has any understanding of what sacrifice means and how the real world is and what it's like to truly not have stuff, to survive on very little. I'm going to have to face the fact that I'll probably have to survive without air conditioning here in Florida because of these maniacs and what they're doing on climate change and everything else, the insanity of what's going to happen. But you really got to get your head into the fact we are going to have to – we better be ready for a lot of sacrifice. We're going to pay the price, and we must not go along with this crap. And I tell you, I've said it. I would have done it umpteen years ago. We truly need a true what I would call it, a walkout, the taxpayer walkout. We're not doing it. We're just not going to do it. And it's very difficult to get people to do that. And especially, it's not like I have money to go and advertise such a thing. We talk here. We try to share information on this show. But the fact of the matter is, you got to get the message out, and you got to get enough people. That's the beauty. Trump has been able to engage people because they knew who Trump was, whether they liked him or not. They knew who he was. They recognized it. And he's the only one that's giving us any hope to think anybody is listening to anything to do with the middle class. They are totally trying to wipe out this middle class. And whether you like everything he's done or not or agreed with all of it, whatever else, it's like – if not him, who else is going to do anything for the people? Because right now there isn't anybody. We saw the insanity of what Kennedy's doing out there, and, of course, there was always some question, even though there's some good things he's done. He's always been there. Biden and company, it was really the Obama administration. It's all insane. And they do everything they can. They totally block out the true third-party, independent, no-party affiliate players. They're not allowed to even participate, like we were just talking about. It's all so disgusting. So the people of this country who do happen to believe in it better be ready for some very hard times, and they better be ready to not comply with the insanity. Make sure you have that sign out in your house, posted no trespassing, so that you have some rights to your own private property, because right now they're not going to do that either. The insanity is everywhere. But we really have to keep talking about this. And we are up. I'm not sure how many seconds I got left. We're just about out of time, so just be prepared. Yeah.
Okay, Sally, if I may, real quick, the summer of 2024 is the end game. It's going to roll into martial law if they're going to do it. It's going to roll into the bio boogie virus, the bio boogeyman. It's going to be the riots. It's going to be 100 times worse than what you saw in 2020. And you are absolutely correct, and this is their last shot at taking it down. And I'm telling you now, it's the last chance for this country because they got everything in place from the CBDC to the currency to control of the infrastructure, destruction of the infrastructure. We have to wake up. We have to join hands. We have to love each other, and we have to focus on family, country duty, honor, God, and loving each other because what they do is they divide you, tribalize you, and try to divide you by gender, color, and blah, blah, blah. You know that. We have to break through.
Hey, we're
going to
get cut any second here, so just everybody knows the mic is going to get cut here. But correct, absolutely.
I'm going to say good night and thank you for everything.
Thank you so much, Ricky. Great conversation. Thank you, everybody, for joining. And there we go. The line is dead. Talk to you later if you hear it.
God bless
everybody. Sally, we're just into no man's land. We don't know when she's going to cut us off.
Yeah, well, I'm heading back to my show then.
Okay.
Heading back to my show. I got a caller on my show. All right,
okay,
here.
Well, thank you. Talk to you later.
All right, there we go. Go ahead there, 214.
It's just me, Gunslinger.
What's up, man?
It's just me, Gunslinger. I'm like to sit there listening to the interesting conversation.
Very interesting. But Gunslinger, we've heard all this before.
You know, we've heard the talk, you know, the end is here, the bottom's going to fall out, you know, and we're all going to, you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, we see things going, we see our country just getting worse. We don't see anything uprising. We don't see, because when we hear that stuff, we think there's going to be an uprising and we're going to restore our republic. I don't see it. I don't see it, you know? Do you?
Eventually, yeah. It has to come to a day that when this thing gets sick and tired of everything, getting sick and tired of getting sick and tired, the uprising will occur. Okay, I can't say when. I don't even know. I have no idea. Okay, we'll live to see it. No, there ain't no doubt about that. If this continues the same graph that it's going right now. Now, when Trump gets back in there, it's going to buy some time, no doubt, okay? And hopefully somebody like Trump will get in there after his 4 years. Now, we'll be on a little vacation there, but if these damn idiots get in there, okay, we're sunk, okay? Go jump on the Titanic. You know what happened to the Titanic? It sunk on its maiden voyage, okay? We're sunk. If these Democrats get back in there and take charge again. I mean, you see how things are going.
Yeah.
Going down the shit-up. You see it. You cannot deny it. Okay? You cannot deny that things were 100% better under Trump.
Oh,
the
they were. They were. Yeah.
It's as clear as the pimple on the end of your fucking nose. It's so clear.
No.
But
I got to agree with you.
Yeah, but they say, Biden, he's doing so good, and the economy's just a hipping and a getting and all that shit. Yeah, bullshit. Boy, you talk about
speaking of sunk, before I get into my case and my situation, a couple people already messaged me wanting to know how I made out today. Not good. Not good at all. I'll just let you know that right now. I showed up at 9 o'clock in the court, obviously, showed up there, and my lawyer was a no-show until about 11:55, and, they take lunch at 12. So, and so he calls me, going to the office there. I show him all my paperwork. I said, I want you to file this motion to dismiss. He starts yelling at me and arguing with me. I said, who are you yelling at? I said, he told me, no, you pled guilty. He goes, I'm going to tell the judge you already pled guilty. He goes, we're pleading guilty today. And you're getting sentenced. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. And we're going back and forth. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. No, you're not. No, yes, I am. You know? And so we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I said, look, I want you to file this. I said, and then the probation thing went on that. Showed him the paperwork where I'm not on probation. And they just made up he says, well, they got a case file that says you are. I said, I don't care what they got. I said, I give them a chronological history in black and white, with signed by the clerk, time-stamped of all what I was charged with, what happened to me, and the results, and what I completed, and all the fines I paid. And still, he would not budge. He would not budge. So he's my enemy, my lawyer, walking into that courtroom. So when he walked into the courtroom, you know where I went? I walked out the front door. That's it. So they might have put a warrant out for me for failure to appear. I don't know what they did. I don't know. It's war. I'm at war right now. That's how I see it. So whatever happens, happens. Let's do it. Now let's see who's going to rise up. Come on. I got the proof. I got proof. I got them dead to rights in corruption and lying to me. It happens to people every single day, but people don't stand up and fight for their rights. Especially at this courthouse, okay? There are many cases, many, many cases of people. People have been killed in that jail there. Four people in the last 2.5 years killed, okay? They tried to kill me in 2021. I had walked out of there with a concussion. I got pictures of my head all swelled up, eyes black. Went to the doctors, got documentation of it, filed the case in federal court. They held on to it for 45 days and then denied me. You know, so which is a violation of Rule 65 of the Federal Rule of Civil Procedure. Okay? So it's obviously corruption going on here. You've got no rights. You've got no recourse. no persuasion of anyone to stand up and do the right thing. I said, then I told him, I says, I spoke to the clerk downstairs, and she told me I was not on probation. Let's go downstairs and go talk to the clerk. He refused to go down there with me. This is an officer of the court now, a lawyer that I paid $2,500 to represent me in court. Well, I hope he represented me well today, because that's what I paid him to do when I walked out. Simple as that. Simple as that. It's war. That's it. Let them come get me. You want to SWAT team me? You want to do whatever you got to do? Let's do it. I'm ready. You know what I mean? I'm not going down. I'm not being kidnapped. Simple as that. I'm not going to submit. 6 months? They were going to put me in there for 6 months today. That's what was going to happen. Well, I still got my freedom, so I still got some bar. I still got leverage. You know? Because once I'm in there, I've got nothing. I can't fight. I can't do nothing. I am trapped. You know?
You're trapped.
And that's how it is. I have some callers here with their hands up. Let me patch them through here. Just patch everybody through, see what's going on here. Okay, everybody, you're unmuted.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, I want to revisit something that concerns both you and me. And I'd like to try to make you understand where I'm coming from with regard to this situation and de facto and de jure law. Now,
okay.
I understand the arguments about the 1871 incorporation. I understand your argument. But let me give you another example of how de facto law, rather than de jure law, can be undone. It has been a hallmark of the unconstitutional gun grabbers to have the Federal Firearms Act of 1934 upheld. I mean, they have been relying on that for all of their subsequent unconstitutional gun control legislation, from the Gun Control Act of 1968 to the assault weapons ban to the Hughes Amendment to all kind of things they do that are utterly, completely, and totally unconstitutional.
The Supreme Court
The Supreme Court in the last decade and a half has been steadily chipping away at it. They've been chipping with the Heller decision, the McDonald decision, now the Bruin decision, now the injunctions against the administrative rules that the ATF has set up about pistol braces and about force reset triggers and all this kind of stuff they do that is unconstitutional. The ATF is on the verge of being undone. And remember, the Federal Firearms Act of 1934, just like this statute that says the United States is a corporation, is unconstitutional. And when it comes to the attention of people with integrity, then they will undo it if they have an urge to do the right thing. So it can be done. It has been done.
We already undid it, Sarge.
No. But what you say is that it's a done deal. It can't be undone because they've done it since 1871. And they keep telling us we're a corporation, and they keep behaving as though we're a corporation. Well, they kept behaving as though the Federal Firearms Act of 1934 was constitutional. Now it is being undone.
All we got to do is
keep pressing the issue.
Sarge, I know. We've already undone it. The Republic was restored by a lot of patriots in 2009 and 2010. The problem is people will not – you see, you're trying to undo it in their jurisdiction. There's two jurisdictions operating here parallel with each other. The lawful jurisdiction, which you were just saying we have to, which we have to get back to, and then the unlawful jurisdiction, which is the corporation, which you say things are being undone slowly but surely. You know, well, slowly but surely is not good enough, because right now I have no rights. Right now you have no rights. You know, you may win small victories here and there, and you may call 911 and the cops will come save you or something like that, or you know, you may get, but on the big picture and the large scale, when you corner them in corruption, you got no rights. They will ignore the law, and Big Brother will step on you.
Okay, well, now I see that point, too. So what you're calling for to undo this state of affairs is for massive civil disobedience.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's another argument there. Okay, now, I was speaking of, you know, going to the courts, establishing how all this is unconstitutional. That's a well-proven route. It has resulted in many constitutional victories doing it that way. Civil disobedience worked to a great extent for the civil rights movement, but, again, most of those things that got overturned, with the exception of Plessy versus Ferguson, with Brown versus Board of Education, most of them were undone at the state and local level because the state and local level were violating the United States Constitution. But, yeah, I get your point about civil disobedience. If that's a way to undo it, then okay, I'll accept that argument, Joe. But I'm not going to accept the argument that the statute itself changed the government. It may have done it in effect, but it did not do it under the Constitution. This is still a constitutional republic.
Well, correct. Yeah, no, I'll concede that. Yeah,
Joe,
you're right. It is. Go ahead.
Joe, your one mistake that you made today, okay, is walking out of the court. What you should have done, okay, is to stand there in court while it's on the record and fired your attorney and tell
it's
the
not
judge
a court of record.
That you're that
it's a
tell the
court.
tell the judge that your attorney no longer represents you, and he is dismissed.
Okay, and then they put the handcuffs on me, and I go to jail for 6 months. Now, what did I achieve?
What would they give you? What would they put you in handcuffs for? For firing your attorney? That's bullshit.
Because they were going to try
me.
They were going to try me.
They can't, Joe. They can't do that.
Yes, they can.
You
yes,
fired.
They can. They've done it
you
before.
Fired, you
They've
fired
done it before,
your attorney.
Lasting. They
you
did it November 2nd of 2022. They did it in 2022, November 22nd. Excuse me, November 2nd, 2022.
What did
they
you
did
do?
It.
What did you fire your attorney in the courthouse? No.
I didn't have
you
one.
You didn't fire your attorney in. You didn't fire your attorney in the courthouse.
No,
you,
I was getting worse.
Hugged,
I didn't have
you
one.
You hugged your boy. You hugged your boy. That's different.
You're not paying attention. You're not listening. You're not listening at all. You think there's going to be justice done. You think that if I do the right thing, that the good things are going to happen. It's not. I would have been locked up and thrown in jail for 6 months today. I tell you that right now. I swear it on my mother's grave. That's where I would have went. I would have went to jail today. I was told that's what was going to happen to me. They were ready for me. They had the bailiffs there ready. Okay, I sat there all morning watching them waiting. I'm not stupid. I know what's going to happen. I'm not paranoid. I'm not dumb. I've been through the system many, 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 many times. I've watched it, and I felt the beatings that they'd given me, and I know what was coming today. I might not have gotten beaten up today, but I'm just saying I was going to jail today for 6 months. That's what was going down. I swear to you, that's what was going to happen. Yeah, I would have fired my attorney, yeah. And I was going to do that if I did get in front of him and I decided to do that. But I was still going to be tried today. I was still going to be tried. They were not going to continue it. The prosecutor said the last time I went, there will be no more continuances. And the judge said, yes, no more continuances, no matter what. That's what they said, their exact words, last time I went. So I was not going to get another continuance, Boyd.
Can I add something? You got
Slinger? Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, the entire system is corrupt, no matter how you look at it. I don't care if you look at it upside down, back, forwards, or up its ass. It's corrupt. You know, not to go into a long story, but the little fuckers over here at this city that I grew up in or next to, they had 21 warrants for my arrest. 21 warrants. For my arrest, you know what it was over? Illegally parking on your grass.
Unreal.
Junk and debris. Okay.
Now victimless
like three and four tickets each. I didn't have that goddamn kind of money. You're talking about $9,000 in fines. I spent a little over 9 months in jail. I could have had a goddamn baby at the in that fucking time.
Yeah, I know. They took your life from you. They took time from you that you can never get back.
Never get back. They are some corrupt son of a bitches. It's the city of DeSoto.
Yeah.
Look it up. It's just outside of Dallas. Okay.
And I understand
they
what Boyd is saying. I understand that. And
yeah,
he's looking at it as an outsider who's not living it. You know?
Yeah, I see what Boyd's saying too. Yeah, and he's correct. You could, if you had a good system, Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, fire that son of a bitch. You dismissed. Get the hell out of here. But you don't know what these bastards are capable of doing. Well, you know they're. You know what they're capable of doing. Okay.
Oh yeah.
You know. So.
And I had a bad feeling. You know. I mean,
you
know, right now I still got my freedom. You know what? Right now I can still go shop for other lawyers maybe. Right now I can, you know, think about this. I can maneuver. Once I'm in there and I'm in a jumpsuit, I can't do nothing. I'm in
You're
a cage.
Fucked.
I can't do nothing.
You're fucked. You're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked. Just like when they was taking my property, I was in jail and I couldn't do a goddamn thing about it because I was in jail.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's what you did too. You lost your property, huh? Yep.
Yeah, lost my fucking property. Okay, my inheritance, my fucking everything.
Wow.
Lived there for 44 years of my life. I had planned on dying there. But
look at me. I got a house here. You know, what happens to my house? What happens to who paid the electric bill while I'm gone for 6 months?
Yeah.
You know, how do I get squatters moving in here? You know, what happens? You know, I mean, what happens to me?
Probably.
You know, I get out, you know, I'm homeless now. You know, now what am I going to do? You know? You know, I mean, so that's the point I'm trying to make. You know, I mean, I got to think. I got to come up with a plan here. I got to think of a plan to try to get this back, to try to, you know, look, it's only a failure to appear if they did. It's a misdemeanor. You know, it's not like you're going to set up roadblocks for me. You know, I mean, even if I left the state, they're not going to extradite me back. I can leave the state right now. They can't extradite me back for a misdemeanor. They don't. They won't. So, you know, so I got a lot of things. I don't want to run, though. I'm not going to run because I don't want to run, you know. But I'm not going to put myself in a battle zone where I know I'm going to lose. You know, that's just stupid. I'm going to lose, though, you know. I was going to lose the battle today. I saw it.
Well, you know, that's just like the situation with me. I could have fought him. I had 14,000 rounds of AK-47 in my arsenal. But what good would have
gotten you? Yeah,
what,
you would die.
Probably killed.
Probably killed.
So, you know, because they outgun you, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And they outgun you and they out-ammo you, no doubt. And they time on their
side. That's suicide right there, boxing yourself in and fighting them, you know? You're done. They kick down the door and you got to go, you know?
Yeah, you're toast. You're toast. You know, there's no doubt about it. So, but you can't, where are you going to go? I mean, you can't outrun the radio.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly, you know, yeah. You know, that's when I submit and I put my hands behind my back and I surrender. That's it, you know, there's nothing I can do. Because I don't have anybody behind me. I got nothing. You know, I'm outnumbered and it's suicide, you know.
Look at what they did to the Branch Davidians down there in Waco, okay?
Oh, I know.
Look at what they did to them, okay? Now, I don't agree with their religious aspects or anything like that, but look at what they did to those people. They tortured them.
Yeah.
They fucking tortured. They killed them. They murdered
them. I know.
They murdered them in cold blood, okay?
Yeah, they were pretty well armed, too.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they were armed, but we all have guns. Everybody in Texas has guns, for God's sakes. Okay,
yeah,
we've got a bunch of them down here.
You're up against that much for it. For God's sake, they had an M728 combat engineer vehicle. That's an M68-1 tank with a 152-millimeter howitzer on it, for God's sake.
I got
another number here.
Yeah, the ATF.
Let me bring this person
on.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I know, because
no, 225. They went and got that from the Army.
Hang on, Sergeant.
The FBI got that thing from the Army. That wasn't an FBI vehicle. It went right to the Army and said, give us an M728 combat engineer vehicle. And the Army turned it over to them, and FBI agents ran it.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
225. 225. Hang on, guys. 225. Another number here just came on. Go ahead.
This is Mike.
Okay, Mike.
Hello, guys. You know, I just got off with those other, with those bitches on kitchen politics and stuff. They don't want to hear it.
Man. I know.
Let me finish what I was saying here about Waco. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't there during the siege, okay, but I was there a week later. It's only 60 miles from where I'm sitting, okay? So I met the people over a couple of times down there, okay? And that was the most law. That was the biggest law enforcement disaster in the entire history of the world. They'll be ashamed of themselves. Okay.
Yeah.
The sheriff of that county down there had the authority to tell the feds to go fuck themselves and get out of this county. Okay. I mean, if you've never been down there, you ought to take a trip and go down there and see that place. It's out in the middle of Buffalo.
The sheriff here, Gunsinger. The sheriff here had the authority to stop this court from doing what it's doing to me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You have to drive 20 minutes out of the town of Waco down there just to get to this. Turn right on farm road this. Turn left on this farm road. Go to this barn and turn left. I mean, it's out there in the middle of bumfuck Egypt, for God's sakes. Okay?
Yeah.
And they could have nailed this dude going to the gun shows up here in Dallas every month. Every month, David Koresh, even though he was a nutcase, no doubt, attended gun shows out here in Big Town, just right across from Big Town out here in East Dallas out here. Okay? They could have initiated a traffic stop, took him in for questioning, whatever. Okay? But they didn't have to do that fiasco down there, what they did. Man, that was pure cold-blooded murder. And they got away with it.
Yeah,
they got away with it. Sickening.
Yeah, they got away with murder, yeah. Mike, what do you got to offer, Mike? What do you say? You were over there with the other people there?
Yeah, I was on there. I was on their show. They started out, well, I don't know. I missed the first part of their show, but they were talking about Trump doesn't deserve to be president. Trump did all this stuff. You know, their Trump derangement syndrome was all on display. And it's like, okay, they started out with talking about Trump said about the blood, poisoning the blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to explain to him that's not what he was talking about. He's talking about these all these people coming in from wherever they come, from bumfuck Egypt, and they haven't had their shots and they haven't had all this stuff given to them that we've had over the course of our lifetime, you know. And so that was one thing they talked about. Second thing is they talked about all the trials going on, and they asked the question, well, why hasn't anybody put him in jail? He's done nothing wrong.
He's done nothing wrong.
He's done nothing wrong. Right.
See, that's the attitude. How about he has to put him in jail?
How about he has to be convicted of anything to go to jail for? How about that?
Yeah.
Right.
What the hell?
And when I pointed out two things, I pointed out it's lawfare, and I pointed out it's election interference. That's when they decide to tell me to get off the phone. They didn't want to hear.
Oh,
that.
Boy.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a leftist that's losing an argument. That's when it's censorship. Because they don't have an argument. They're out of them. Their arguments are paper thin.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there trying to tell them, okay, Fannie Willis has been smacked down, even though it was a partial smackdown. They're about to smack down Judge Engoron and what's her name, and Letitia James up in New York. They're going to smack down Stormy Daniels, you know, and her, and he's going to win against E. Jean Carroll on appeal. E. Jean Carroll is not going to see a bit of that $83 million. So
I don't think so either.
That they're trying to law that, oh, why don't they? There's some of these judges are going to put more gag orders on him. Well, that's not stopping him so far because those gag orders are illegal gag orders.
Yeah. Well, you never
Do you know what those gag orders say? The prosecutor in the Bragg case is asking the judge to put a gag order on family members of the participants in the trial. I've never heard of that before. They are not participants in the trial. The judge doesn't have any authority over them.
No jurisdiction.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're asking, but that's what he is. Wait a minute. That is what the Bragg prosecutor is asking the judge to do, to exercise, take away the First Amendment rights of family members who are not participants in the trial. I've never heard of that before. Never.
Absolutely, Sarge. Absolutely. And that's the thing. These people are so laser focus on their Trump derangement syndrome, that they can't get the point that he's done nothing wrong.
Well, so they're revealing what they are. Every day they do this, they are tyrants. They are right out of the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany or anywhere else you think of where tyranny reigns rather than the legal system. Everything they do is singularly unprecedented in the history of American jurisprudence with regard to Trump.
Yep. We got 407 on here.
Look, they've done studies over the last 90 years of super fraud cases
hey,
in New York. They have
never found a case
in the United States judicial history, I mean, certainly not in New York judicial history, where there was a finding of fraud in a case with no victims on a magnitude of that judgment against Donald Trump. They could not find one in 90 years. They've never heard of this statute in its history being used in the manner in which it was to protect a financial institution from one of their lendees. It's never been used that way before. Everything
I know, we know.
Donald
it's never
Trump
been used. We know. It's first time.
Everything.
Yes.
It's done just to get in.
Sally, you got Sally
hey,
on
Joe.
Here.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. The key to all, everything that's being discussed, and which is a curio, a lot of it's the same stuff we were talking about just on the other show, on my show earlier, is the truth doesn't matter. We have to understand unrestricted war. This is the ultimate example of unrestricted war. They will use every part of the system against us. The law doesn't matter. The truth doesn't matter. They're taking us down, and just like, I mean, I don't think you could have a better example except when you see our National Guard on the border being run over by the illegal invaders. When you realize that is really truly where we are at. We are just being run over. The law doesn't matter. Your own defense, your own national defense cannot defend you. There's something so sick about this. But this is truly where we're at. So what do we do? And what is a stupid election going to truly prove if you go and have these people in there right now who are out there corrupting, trying to sabotage anything if Trump does get in there? So this is where we have to realize that the unrestricted war, whatever you want to call it, is what is happening right now. And we all better be ready because, as it was Ricky DeSantis who was on my show, said, you know, if you think the summer of 2020 was bad, you ain't seen nothing
90
yet
seconds,
what's
going
to happen.
Hang on, Sally. 90 seconds. Yep. 90 seconds,
okay.
And they're going to disconnect the chat. Disconnect this, so whoever's on the line has to stay on the line or you won't get back in, okay? 657-383-0616 if you're on the Internet listening. Thank you. Go ahead, Sally. Sorry.
You're right, Sally. This is unrestricted warfare, and they're afraid. When they talk about Trump taking vengeance when he gets elected, that's what they're afraid. They're afraid they're going to take this that Trump's going to take this unrestricted warfare and put it against them.
Yeah, he's going to retaliate for what they've done to him, which I don't think he will do that. I think he will go back to like the Jan 6 ones. These people, have been political prisoners. They should not have been there, and pardon all of them. I don't think he's going to do anything near to the extent of the evilness of what the communists are doing right now. But right now they're going to try and make sure they block him in every which way they can so that he's paralyzed, if you will, going in there to do anything. It's just so disgusting.
And
what are we going to do?
I'll say it again. All these Republicans, so-called, quote, Republicans, that are retiring or resigning right now, is all that's going to do, one or two more, all that's going to do is flip the House and give the gavel, at least for a short time, to, Hakeem Jeffries.
Right.
And that's a big
deal.
So
they can pass the bills. Yeah. So they can.
Where they're doing this to Trump. They are doing it in rat-friendly jurisdictions. Fulton County, Georgia. Washington, D.C. New York. They are doing it in venues where they know what the outcome of any verdict is likely to be. That's why they're doing it there. We got to keep
that
in mind.
But what about the smaller group?
It's in the whole country.
Sorry. What about, yeah, but what about the patriots out there that are being snatched up one by one, like me? Like the January 6ers, like everyone else, you know, that's out there suffering. It's only a matter of time before they get to all of us. They got the system all set up.
Well, yeah. Remember, Donald Trump is the biggest single existential threat right now. You're not worried about the mass of a sheep right now. They think they can control a sheep. They see Donald Trump as a rallying point for all of us. He's got to be neutralized. That's why they're concentrating all their fire on him. And that's why they're doing it in the areas where they know they are likely to get the verdict that they're looking for.
And one of the guys that just resigned, Mike Gallagher, his guy, his governor is a Democrat, is a rat, all right? And so he resigns, he leaves Congress, and what happens? He doesn't leave until the middle of April, middle of this month. They can't hold a special election, and the Democratic governor gets to appoint a Democrat.
Yep.
That's him.
That's a traitor right there. That's a rhino. That's a rhino that right there, those rhinos. And we got a lot of them. A lot of them. We got them here in North Carolina, a lot of them. You know?
They must have found a dead boy in his bed, and they're telling we know about the dead boy in your bed or something.
Well,
Joe, remember, I think it was Karen who was saying how they've been going in and some group, I can't remember who it was, going in and bribing these people to resign and whatever else.
Yes.
They're being paid off to do this bribery.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They flat out told me about making waves here in North Carolina.
That's what they attempted to do to Carrie Lake to get her to pull out of the Senate race.
Yes, sir.
You know? I don't know, guys.
You said it, Sarge. There's a quote from a former governor here in Louisiana by the name of Edwin W. Edwards. And at one point he said, as long as there's not a dead boy or a live girl in my bed, I'm good. They're going to elect me. That's what this is.
It's
that's it, maybe. I'm telling you, man. They're pulling. They're looking. What did Hillary Clinton tell you back when she was getting the question and she had amnesia and couldn't remember a goddamn thing? Those 800 FBI files have now metamorphosed into 80 million. She's probably got more than that, but she's got a file on everybody that could conceivably be her opposition and even her allies. She knows what she needs to know to shut anybody up. And not just her, most of the big wigs in the Rat Party and the Rhino establishment. And they're prepared to pull all of that ammunition out whenever they want somebody to fall in line.
You know, guys,
well, you do realize that about 2.5 months ago, the Francis Scott Key Bridge texted he has all the goods on Hillary Clinton to put her away.
I think it was an accident, guys. I just, Sally, I heard your show. You know, I just think it was just an accident that happened. You know, I don't want to divert subject here, but I just, you know, I just don't think that the tinfoil hat should go on that. You know, I mean, it just happened.
Well, for now, we'll say it's an accident, Joe. Anything. Given the depth of evil these people came to give. Look, they tried to make us believe that the Nord Stream pipeline was blown up by the Russians.
Right.
So right now, I've got no evidence. I've got no evidence that was anything but an accident. For right now. My mind is open, though.
And Sarge, when it's all said and done, that is the only evidence that you're going to be allowed to see.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll be now.
Why would I believe anything that they say? I would have to assume they're lying more than I would ever assume that they're telling the truth.
Well, I guess that's a good point. We always have to assume. Yeah, we always have to assume it's a lie before, you know, even when it's bluntly in our face. I mean, I kind of got to agree with that.
And most people don't have any idea how much the CCP controls transport into this country. I mean, people, little by little, they're realizing that China owns most of this country as it is right now.
It's a million-dollar question.
The likes of Mitch McConnell, Mitch McConnell is one of the biggest, scummiest traitors and treasonous traitors there ever was. And which, of course, you notice Ricky didn't answer the question. Why did Trump hire her for this, his way, whatever? So, no, I don't believe in this many coincidences. I'm sorry, I just don't believe in it. And with everything else going on and knowing the evilness of what these people do, what they are determined to do to this country, I believe it's
I don't like that. That's the first I heard of that. I guess I've been so busy. I didn't know he's going to have Tulsi Gabbard as his running mate.
Well, she's out there on the list. He hasn't said that. But, she shouldn't be it either. But,
No, can't support that.
She's not going to be it. I agree with our friend, me and Gunslinger's friend, Vaughn Wehunt, who does a show on Blog Talk. He says it should be white European male. So if it's that,
I don't know about that. Women, there's nothing wrong with having a woman in there. I mean, you know, it's just, this is how I see it. This is how I see it, Mike. Hang on. We had this conversation last night on another show, actually. Listen, if you're swearing to the Quran, then no. You should not be trying to uphold the Constitution, because you're not going to uphold the Constitution because your loyalty goes to the Quran. So, no, you're not an American, true blue American. No, you should not be in government. That's where I draw the line, and that's the right thing to do. You know, I mean, because everyone has the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness here in America if you're a natural-born citizen. I mean, come on. Or even if you come over here legally. But if you've got a Quran in your hand, that Quran says you're the enemy. You should be put to death. How could that person govern? How could that person represent?
Well, actually, Joe,
can
that
we
should
say
be
Omar?
Right. But, Joe, that should be the criteria that a discerning public should decide for itself is a disqualification, like being a communist or a Marxist or an ardent socialist.
But the point is, you can't take the oath of office.
Or even being an adulterer. Because remember, no matter what you decide, it doesn't matter. As a voter, you have the right to decide on any criteria that in your mind qualifies or disqualifies any candidate.
Even if it goes against the Constitution?
A discerning voter should never vote for a dedicated Muslim, because their religion teaches them that the highest law is the law of Islam.
Yeah,
that's correct. You can't take the oath of office. If your core beliefs totally are against what the oath of office is, then you're not qualified. You can't take the oath of office with the Quran.
Well, unfortunately, that's not a constitutional provision. That is something a discerning public should decide for itself. Unfortunately, we've got people so badly educated, I don't know if we can rely upon them to be discerning.
I got 417 guys putting their hand up. 417 is putting their hand up. Anybody wants to talk, of course, you got to press 1. So on your phone, got a bunch of numbers up here. Go ahead, 417. Watch the language, everybody,
Merry
please.
Merry Christmas.
I knew that was you. That's
why
I said that.
Go ahead. Well, go ahead, and I won't be myself, and just I'll listen. So go ahead.
Oh, come on. You can have a freaking intellectual conversation without having to F word. Come on, man. I got children listening to this show tonight. You know, you can't
I'm
do that to children, man.
DTR, and I get it. I'm cool with that. So, you know, so
you
I
can say what you want, Ron, but just remember, there's children listening, man.
But that don't matter.
I got 10-year-olds listening to this show right now. Well, I'm not going to be saying the F word every, come on, every 3 seconds.
It shouldn't matter because it's a First Amendment right.
No, it's not. You have a responsibility also. You have a civic duty. You know, it's called, come on. You have to have a moral compass somewhere in your life. Come on, whether you believe in God or not.
They don't have one. I don't have one. Well, but still, there again, it is a First Amendment right. Is it the word? That's all it is.
No.
What you believe it means
is
up to
you. This is a good conversation, actually. Ron, I got to disagree with you. Just because you have a First Amendment doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want and say whatever you want. You have to has to be a guideline, a responsibility.
Where are you at, man? Where are you at? Are you smoking something, bro? Dude, the First Amendment means anything.
No, it's
anything.
Not.
Doesn't matter. Oh, dude.
So you can yell fire in a movie theater.
You can't say these words.
You can yell fire in a movie theater.
No, there's two different types of right and wrong. There's a right and there's a wrong. You see what I'm saying? It has to be a legitimate thing you're saying. Okay? not something that's fictional.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. But at the same time, as trying to be.
What is the word?
So you walk around in Walmart just saying, F you, F you, F you all day. You just say that?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm surprised you haven't gotten kicked out. Now, what if they kick you out?
So what?
What would you do?
Sue them?
If somebody kicked you out, just say, you're at a restaurant.
Violation of my
civil rights. Doesn't matter. How would that violate your civil rights? Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech, brother. Freedom of speech. It doesn't matter, Donnie. I know you don't like it, but I can't help it. Because you're thinking of what other things it means in the bad derogatory sense. You're not looking at the fact it's just a word, you know. It has no fiber to it. It has no, you know, substance to it. There's nothing there. It's just a word. And the freedom of speech protects it.
Come on, guys. Somebody back me up on this.
Most states allow you to refuse service to any customer as long as it's not one of the civil rights provisions. They can refuse you service for not wearing shoes. Nobody wins a lawsuit in Georgia on that ground. Nobody.
Right. But if they throw you out because you said a word, it is a violation of your First Amendment right.
Not on private property.
It's just like saying you're black or you're handicapped, you can't come in
this restaurant. Not on private property.
Not true.
No, it isn't.
Not true.
Yeah. No, it isn't.
Okay.
Profanity, right. Go out there and be sure to curse the whole place and see what happens.
But your free speech could
be considered disorderly conduct and then keep you out on private property.
Right. Here's another fun one. I'll help you out since we're not going to get over this. Here's another one I like to do is the word goddamn. Okay? Oh, my God. People, automatically, you're taking a large name in vain. You know, good SOB,
okay.
Blah, 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 right? Nah.
Right.
And again, people are so stupid. Look, man, people are so dumb to the fact of reality anymore. It's sickening. It is. It's
Ron, you don't believe in God.
It has nothing to do with it, man. That's not what I'm trying to talk about, man. What I'm talking about is when people say that. When they say that little saying, okay, most people believe they're taking the Lord's name in vain. That is not true. The simple fact is you're asking God to damn somebody. You're asking him to do it for you. God damn it. Get it? God damn it. This guitar sitting here in my audience. God damn it. But, you know,
Hang on, Ron. That's an oxymoron because you're saying you're putting your beliefs now before mine. You're saying yours can go before mine now.
I'm talking a fact. I'm not talking belief. I'm talking fact.
I'm saying it's fact,
too.
Fact
or reality.
My Bible says that's a sin.
I'm talking fact now.
You see, I'm talking fact.
But it's not a fact. The Bible's not a fact. Prove it.
Here it is. Oh, prove it.
We're living it.
Oh no! Absolutely not. You guys are straight up. Would you share with the rest of the group? I really wish you would. It's got to be good.
To your point, Ron, if I say, God damn Joe Biden.
Yeah. You want God to damn him.
I'd say, fuck
God.
Joe Biden.
You know? There you go. No, it's a good thing to say, isn't it? See? Wow.
Now we're getting like the liberals. We're losing. We're getting like the liberals now. We're turning into a mob justice.
That's exactly what y'all sound like.
Here's the deal, guys. Yeah. All these trials and shit, all these bullshit trials, all they're about is the First Amendment, taking away Trump's First Amendment rights. That's all this is about. You know, Trump wants to be able to question the elections. Well, they don't want him questioning the elections. They want the elections to be hard and fast, right?
That's my whole point. That's my whole point. I was saying about the, you know, we were talking about the F word Donnie's offended by it. I mean, not Donnie Cathy. Well, he is too, I think so. But but hey, man.
No.
But you know, like you know, Joseph, you know, the way it's thrown out this way, you know, it's an offensive thing. But it depends on how you personally take it. The F word can be done in so many different fashions and definitions. It's crazy.
Well, let me hang on. All right, hang on. No, because yeah, if I live by the Bible, and that's what a lot of people do, and it's the foundation of this country, okay, Colossians 3:8, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Matthew 15:10, Jesus warns against defiling speech. James 3:9, blessing and cursing should not come from the same mouth. Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you,
okay.
Do not curse them. So it's flat out telling us not to do that. You know? I mean, that's just what the Bible says.
It's
and
the same
and we believe that.
Things you do associate with it. No. But are you saying that word? Are you saying that word in particularly?
Well,
see, it's not.
Let's get back to the subject at hand here, because I'll hear a lot of cursing when I'm in prison.
Word.
So,
I'm not cussing.
You know, I hear a lot of.
I'm respecting you. It offends you. You know, you're part of the cult people. I get it. Go ahead.
But guys. Yeah. I want to just say one thing. We were talking about people that take the oath of office on the Quran. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't there a fellow named Keith Ellison out of Minnesota that did exactly that?
That's what he did.
He did, but he shouldn't have been allowed to.
Yes, that's what he did. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid there isn't anything in the Constitution that permitted either state constitution.
It's a matter of taking the oath to the Constitution. If you're not going to be able to take the oath to the Constitution, that's what the real question is. And what the Quran says is anti-Constitution. So how can I believe in God? It's kind of like being an atheist and believing in God at the same time. You can't do both. If you're an atheist, you can't believe in God. If you're going to support Islam and this other stuff, you can't be in Congress because you can't hold up that Constitution because you don't believe
in
it.
Right.
That's where it is to me.
I would never vote for Keith Ellison. Never. I do not believe any
devout.
Sally, can't hear you, Sarge.
Yeah.
Sally, I can barely hear you, Sarge.
But Sally, the person you describe who doesn't go to church is not necessarily an egg.
Going to church doesn't make you a Christian or an atheist. No, I didn't say that.
Yeah,
I said a person cannot be a Christian and an atheist at the same time. How can you be an atheist and believe in God at the same time? You can't. That's what I'm comparing this Quran. If you're going to take an oath to a Quran, you can't take it to the Constitution. Those people
are called agnostic.
No, that's something. Agnostic is different. Agnostic is where you don't know for sure whether you believe in a God or you question it, whatever. You can say you're dazed and confused in reference to whether there's a God or not. That's what being agnostic is. Being an atheist is, and we can get Joe from Montana on here, an atheist, you do not believe in a God, period. People who are following the Quran are not following God. They're following Allah or whatever else. If you take an oath to Allah, not to God, you cannot uphold our Constitution. You cannot take an oath to this Constitution in this country if you believe something different. That's all there is to it.
But you can't be a devout Muslim. But I consider myself an agnostic because I do believe in God and I do believe in Jesus. But I do not and will not attend or go to any organized religion.
That's fine. That has nothing to do with it.
Let me finish one thing real quick here, and then I'll be quiet.
Well, the thing is today, the churches have been corrupted. Churches are now tax-exempt organizations. They're not churches anymore. So I don't go to – if I want to get Sikh religion, I don't go to a church. I have my one-on-one with God every day. I can believe in God, and I can believe in Jesus, and I can read the Bible without going to a church. The churches have been so corrupted in this process as well that why would I go there to be around a bunch of scumbags and that don't believe in anything?
Well, hang on, Sally. Sally, I got a question for you. All right. Where do you shop at? You go to Walmart, right? Bunch of scumbags in there.
I avoid Walmart at all possible extent. I do not buy stuff made in China if I can totally avoid it. Unfortunately, I will have to dismantle a lot of my vehicles and electronics and everything else if I try to get rid of everything made in China. Oh, I wish I could, but I can't. But for the stupid things I don't need that say made in China, I don't buy them.
Look, all if right. you're a devout okay. Muslim, you have to believe in Sharia law as the supreme law over
Correct.
All other things.
Which is not
you cannot be a devout Muslim and accept that any secular law is higher than Sharia law as interpreted by the Hadith. I do see, look, in my discernment as a voter, I will never vote for a person who professes to be a devout Muslim, because when push comes to shove, they are always going to put Sharia over the written constitutional law if there's a conflict. They're just going to do it. They have to. It's in their religion.
Their allegiance.
To follow up on that real quick, I've asked a question in the past, and you could go back probably 5 years and hear shows I did on it in the past. I say, I have said, can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? In a legal sense, yes, you can, because you have the right of religion, a legal sense. But you can't truly be an American if you're going to try to follow Sharia law, because it's totally contradictory to what we are. If you believe,
exactly.
you cannot be an atheist and believe in God at the same time. You can't do both at the same time.
Question,
you can be
Sally.
An agnostic and you
question.
Can be confused, but you can't do the other.
But here's the problem, though, Sally. Here's the problem. This is the problem. The problem is that the Constitution forbids religious death. So if the voters decide they want to vote for a Muslim, even though they ought to know better, then they get to vote for a Muslim. That Muslim gets to take the office.
Yep.
Now, when he violates his oath of office, he ought to be impeached and removed from office.
And what I said was, from a legal perspective, yes, you can be an American and a Muslim at the same time. Legally. However, you cannot truly believe in the Constitution if you're going to believe in Sharia law.
You can be constitutionally elected and be a devout Muslim.
But
and
the
that
fact
is
of the matter is, when you take that sworn oath, you're perpetrating a fraud on the people if you take an oath to uphold a constitution that you don't believe in. Omar does not believe it. Omar is a foreign agent. Omar should not be in there.
Yes.
Right. Of course, we've got a bunch of stupid Republicans who don't know how to do anything, who don't have a beer or whatever else. They don't do
it. Well, it is a problem. It is a conflict. And I hope see, this is why we're supposed to have a well-educated voting populace, so they will know better and not do it. The problem is we've let people into the country who don't have an allegiance to our Constitution, our tradition, our way of life. There is no reason to let them in if they didn't. There's no, you don't have a right to be a legal resident in this country. We have the right to decide whether or not you should come in the first place. We're not following it. We are telling everybody in the world, come on over. You got a right to be here. That is the biggest amount of crap this country's ever sold.
Talk about why Omar is there. How did Omar get there? And does anybody remember the refugee program from Obama? Obama brought in his refugees. He planted them in smaller cities so they could take over local government, and that's exactly
what
happened.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, you're right. Wow. I forgot all about that. Yep. Yeah. Wow.
And like I said, the problem is there is no constitutional impediment to them attaining office if voters decide to put them there. That's the problem.
Well, and it goes back to which is, I understand what you're saying there, and I don't dispute that part because we know the election is totally screwed up anyway. But the whole point is if I take an oath to uphold that Constitution and to protect and defend per that Constitution, but everything I do once I get in there is anti-Constitution and is out there to destroy, that is when the person should be impeached, cause retreat, whatever it is, they should be removed once they have perpetrated a total fraud on the people. So
now, that is true. That is true. Yes, exactly. But the problem is that we're told to impeach somebody who's a devout Muslim and refuses to uphold the oath of office for fidelity to the Constitution. If you do that, then you're a racist.
Yeah, you're a racist.
They're both.
And
that's
and
the problem.
And you as a black man could be a racist, too.
I know. I know I'm white supremacy adjacent or something. I know. Believe me, I know all this. I've seen all of their tricks. I know what they do.
Sarge, ask Gunslinger. Ask Gunslinger. We had a heck of a show last night on Lori Ann's show. Mike. I guess he supports Iran and tries to get the Ayatollahs out of there or whatever. And we had a big debate back and forth about, you know, who that Quran thing, you know, Quran should not be here and blah, 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 and, you know, stuff like that. It was a huge debate. But they cornered me, though. They got me in the corner.
Let me just my brother-in-law's parents are from Turkey. All right, they're Turkish. All right, and they don't really do the Quran thing. They're not totally on board with the Quran, you know, with that religion, so-called religion. So they believe in the Constitution. So go figure, right? But that's the thing. When you can't even make a cinch, I believe they tried to cinch to leave.
What are you doing?
A lot of noise in the background.
Why an airplane?
Someone needs to mute.
Yeah.
Can't hear you. Can't hear Mike.
You don't hear the noise. You're the one making it, by the way. If you do not hear the noise on the call, you're the one making the noise.
Yeah. Now, my thing is...
Go ahead.
My question is, didn't they try to censure, like, Tlaib, Rashida Tlaib? I think.
Yeah, because she's
remember.
Out there, she's promoting Palestine. She's got her Palestinian flag out there, and she doesn't care about Americans. She just wants Palestine. Whatever she's doing there. She's another foreign agent, too, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they did do that. And you got to remember, too, Mike, that Turkey came under the influence of Mustafa Kemal, Atatürk. Atatürk modernized Turkey and took a lot of that Sharia law aspect of Islam out of the governance of Turkey. So Turkey is not quite the same way as other Islamic countries. Believe me, it really isn't. Thanks to Mustafa Kemal. And he was the guy that held the British off at Gallipoli. He became a national hero, and he modernized Turkey in the 1920s. And that's still largely holding true for the way they govern Turkey. Turkey is an exception.
Now, my question to you, Sarge, they want to call you a white supremacist. Do you have your KKK card? Do you have your sheet ready?
It doesn't matter. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the rule of law. I believe in the greatness of the United States. That makes me white supremacist adjacent, and I've internalized white supremacy. There's no redemption for me. You do understand that,
don't
you?
You're a black man.
It doesn't matter. I'm white supremacist adjacent, according to them. It doesn't matter.
Oh,
well, let me tell you about this. A quick joke on that.
I'm telling you, man, you don't know these people like I do. Remember, I used to be one of them. I know how they think.
Yeah.
Well, you can go do a search on Orlando Councilwoman Daisy Lynham. She's passed away now, but she was in the city of Orlando Council for a long time. She was a black woman. And she was always out there preaching, black people can't be racist.
Yeah, that shit. Yeah, right. We know. I'm telling you, man, these people, I mean, they are the most dual-minded people on the planet. I mean, you've got to understand it's because of the nature of racial identity, the racial industrial complex, and the way they have adopted all of these philosophies that are based on critical theory and critical race theory. Once you understand that, you understand why they're doing what they're doing, because I was inculcated with it once. I understand it.
Yep.
And if you understand it, you know why they say what they say.
Yeah. Okay, so real quick, Sarge. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, what I was going to say, just a little thing on the election here, and we saw what happened over the holidays with them doing this whole thing with the Trans Day of Recognition on Easter, right? You know, that shit. You know?
And the devil mocking God.
And then they also from the White House, from the Commander in Chief, they told the military guys, that their kids weren't allowed to paint religious things on eggs. That's another attack on Christianity. You know, so there's that. But as far as the election goes, Trump Trump thinks he can flip New York. All right? I'm not going to argue with him there. He thinks he can. I'm not going to argue with him there. Let's just play this thing out, okay?
It's impossible, Mike. It's impossible. New York City is 90% Democrat.
Right. Just hear me out. Let's play this thing out, okay? He flips New York, then he goes into Chicago, and he flips Chicago and flips Illinois. Then somebody like, I don't know, Steve Garvey wins in California. That's an extinction-level event there. Yeah.
That's an impossibility because it's never going to happen. Okay, you're talking fiction here.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I maybe Trump's deluded for thinking he can flip New York, but he seriously believes he can do it. So I'm not gonna say he's deluded. I'm just gonna say I'll believe it when I see it. You know.
Yeah. Well, let me ask now advice now. Let me come ask him advice now. Boyd gave me his advice, what I should have done today in court. Sarge, what's your opinion now? Where do I go from here?
I think you should have asked the judge. You should have told the judge you're going to fire your attorney. You need time to secure a new attorney. So you're asking for a date, hence, in which to acquire your new attorney and start new proceedings. I think that's what you should have done.
All right, it wouldn't have mattered. I would have went to jail.
And file your motion to dismiss.
Okay.
That's right.
All right, get that filed.
I mean, I know it might be a long shot, but I think that's what you should have done. And by the way, don't forget, this coming election is not going to be about voters. It's going to be about ballots in 5 or 6 key swing states. That's what it's going to be about.
Yep.
Ballot, not
voter. Why? What's going on with that? What's up with that? What's going on with it?
Who collects the most ballots by a crook or by a crook is going to win in those states.
Whoever collects
the most ballots by hook or by crook will win the election.
Wow.
That's right. It's not who casts the vote. It's who counts the vote.
Go ahead. What I was going to say is that's one of the reasons why Ronna McRomney is out, because she didn't want to play by the rules that have been set forward in the state in terms of counting votes and starting with ballot harvesting and things of that nature. You know, she wanted to allow them to do all the cheating and not for us to play by the same rules. That's why she
her big problem was she's going to play by the rules. That's fine. I like that. I agree with that. She was going to let them do the cheating. And I like that too. But where she fucked up was by not challenging and taking to court they're cheating.
Yeah.
She's a Romney person. What do you expect? She's related to Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Now, again, guys, the million-dollar question, how do we turn this around? What's the answer? What can we or you or I do out there?
Well, not comply with it. As we talked earlier, we better be ready. There is an unrestricted war going on here, and trying to change and flip it, you just better be ready for whatever happens when it comes to the violence. We need to find, if you can find a constitutional sheriff, that would be a miracle and a blessing. But because we truly have the constitutional sheriffs have so much authority, but most of these don't know anything about the Constitution either. Well, how many constitutional sheriffs do we have out there? Who's going to protect you locally from this kind of crap? If you don't get, Florida's got quite a few now, and they're getting better. And it actually seems to be something that, since people like it, maybe some more will actually do it. But it's going to be rough. There is no simple answer to go and elect the right people in a totally corrupt system. That's the challenge we face. There's going to be some type of revolution or something with this going on. It's happening all around the world, and America, the United States of America, is just the last ones coming to the party. But people better wake up and be ready to defend their rights.
I know.
We need an army of poll watchers in these purple states. We need armies of them to watch for shenanigans.
And we cannot allow something to happen like happened in Atlanta. Oh, there's a busted pipe. We're sending you home.
You lose your pay for today.
Listen.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've got a question for you, Joe.
All right.
You have been asking this question ever since I've been coming to this show.
Yes, I have.
Okay. And I am waiting for you to formulate an answer.
Oh, me, huh?
To that question. Yeah.
Well, I do believe I've given an answer several times over the years on how to restore our republic. I did a show with many of the main players that helped found the re-inhabited portion of our republic and started the process in play with the military, with United States senators back in 2008, 2009. We did shows on this. Sarge, I think you could vouch for me on this. You were part of those shows. I think, Sally, you even called into a few of them, right?
Oh, yeah. We talked about what has to be done to get rid of the U.S. corporation stuff and all that and actually take over those seats. And that's truly what we need to do to take over the seats of the people that are in office today, getting enough people coordinated to do that and not being totally attacked. And the same garbage what we saw on Jan 6 is what the challenge would be. But, yeah.
Well,
that's what I've been doing.
Then, as far as I'm concerned, you have the answers. You need to be discerning the answers and putting them out there. Don't be asking how we're going to do it. You put out the answers and say how we're going to do it.
Well, boy, I like
getting
to listen to
engaged.
New ideas. Yeah, yes, that's it. Getting people engaged and listening to new ideas also. There's nothing wrong with that. America is an idea, you know, and that's what we, you know, so that idea is bulletproof to how does it go? Ideas are I forgot how the saying went. Son of a bitch! I forgot. I'll come up with it eventually. But anyway, but the ideas of the freedom can never die. You know.
That is part of ideas are bulletproof radio. Ideas are bulletproof.
Something is not bulletproof.
But okay, so right now, all I have is the de jure government, follow the de jure government, and that stuff. But the
Get
one
involved.
Thing I do, but wait a minute, the one answer I have not heard or know about is what actions and what am I supposed to do?
Okay.
Well, I don't know if you want me to chime in here real quick. I've talked about it on my show last few weeks. And if I've encouraged people, go out there and find defendflorida.org, sign up and join. It's Tuesday, and there's been a conflict with Joe's show, unfortunately. But it's defendflorida.org, and they have in other states, too. It's a meeting. It's a Zoom meeting. It's not a talk show. People get on talk shows, and I'm out there doing it, too. I'm trying to share information. And I've tried to rally the troops out there at times, but people, it's a lot easier to talk and listen. But when you ask people to actually do something, then it's another matter. Defend Florida meeting is a Zoom meeting where you do stuff.
Sally.
Yes.
Here is the big question, okay? People want to do something. They don't know what to do. They need somebody to tell them.
Yes, I agree.
Them.
I agree.
They need somebody to tell them
I'm answering your question. if you listen, if you would go to a Defend Florida, as an example, but you do whatever in your own state, it's a group of people who have studied Florida law, how you approach different things, and people doing stuff, going to the meetings or setting up some different things to support the outside candidates, the ones that are not the establishment ones. We are working together to make sure we get the message out there and bypass some of the corruption. It's not going to be easy, but the point is you take action. You don't just talk about it. They share information, share the facts, say, here, we need volunteers to do this. On such and such a day, we need people to be here and do this, whatever. It's coordinating to try to flip, especially at the state and local level stuff, to flip some of these positions to get people who actually have some ethics and integrity in there and to try to get past. The Republican Party of Florida is so corrupt. It is so – I mean, I think they trained the RNC. I don't know. They're so corrupt. And so you're trying to get decent people elected through this process, and Joe, I'm sure, understands exactly what I'm saying. And if you don't get rally the troops, the we the people, the true Americans out here, to go out there and take action – you've got to bypass. You've got to bombard it with time and effort versus money because you don't have all the money for the advertising. And there's many things you can do if you can get enough people to be engaged. And on these Zoom calls that we have, there's been plenty of times when we've had 60 to 90 people on these calls and people talking about what they're actually doing, what they're coordinating different counties throughout the state of Florida, who they're reaching out to get people to help them, how they have the communication. So it's a meeting. That's why I said it's a meeting. It's not a talk show. It's a meeting. Here's what we have to do. Here's what the legislation is. Here's how we're going to fight it. Here's what we have, you know, take action and get people engaged. Do something.
Okay.
Here's the deal, guys. I found that the ideas are bulletproof thing. It says this, and a bullet can kill a person. Many bullets can kill many people, but an idea cannot be killed by a bullet. An idea is not corporeal. It moves from mind to mind without leaving a trail. An idea can start a revolution. That's what that means.
Here you go.
Ideas are bulletproof.
And one person can make a difference.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, thank you, all of us out there at the same time trying to do something positive. You know what I mean? Everybody has different times in their life when they feel they can rise up and take a stand, but we all have to take a stand now. It's too late. We're past midnight. Mm-hmm. We're the doomsday clock. You know, we're all done. I mean, really. I mean, this is serious business, going on around the world.
People, look, here's the deal. There are many ways to go after this whole election deal, and a lot of people are going after it in different ways. One way is to play by the rules that are set, and that is ballot harvesting and the like in certain states, right? But the other thing is going after and getting rid of the machines, which has been the whole thing with Mike Lindell, you know? So.
Yep.
So there are many ways that we can correct this whole election kerfuffle, you know, and this whole, who counts the votes, how many votes there are, and who witnesses the votes, you know. That's the other thing. Who gets a chance to witness the votes, right? See Atlanta. Because, you're going to be here for this time. We're going to say, okay, there's a busted pipe, everybody goes home. And then a half hour later or an hour later, the Democrats come back and do what they did. That's how things work. That's how they want to play the game.
Face it, Joe Biden will be the next president. Face it.
We hope not.
I still believe they don't want him. That the Democrats don't want him and deep state don't want him and stuff. I think they're going to do something probably at the convention now. It might not be Big Mike, but it might be somebody else because I don't think it's going to be Big Mike, you know. So go figure. But, yeah, as far as all this election stuff goes, look, we got to play by the rules that are set, and until – these states change the rules about who counts the ballot, canvasses, canvassing. That was the whole thing. That was the whole thing in Arizona. They didn't want to canvass the state to find out where these votes were coming from, right? In Arizona.
Yeah.
The canvassing of the state, right? So you got to do all this stuff to correct all the election stuff, you know. And as far as what they say that Trump, if Trump gets in there, he's going to take his revenge. I say fine with it. I'm fine with it. If his revenge includes clearing out the nest of vipers that is the DOJ, everybody in the DOJ goes. Clearing out the FBI, everybody in the FBI goes.
They can't do nothing, the FBI.
We have a Congress that could defund them. The defunding of the FBI is what they should do, but they don't have the courage to do that either.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what's that, Boyd?
You're so optimistic, Joe, that I can't stand it.
You want me to lie? Is that what you want?
You know, there's another agency that needs to be defunded and eliminated too. That's the ATF. They need to go.
Oh, yeah. They
need
to. Totally unconstitutional.
Most of the alphabet agencies need to go.
Yes.
Foreign of Education
is
one of the biggest problems we got.
Yes. That needs to go. The education department there. Get rid of it. It's a failure. It's a failure. You got to keep dumping more money into it. And for what? Our kids aren't getting any smarter.
Greenwashing.
Guys, I will maintain my thought that Trump, when he was in there the first time, he should have fired Rod Rosenstein on day one. All right?
But he did. But he didn't. So.
He didn't, but he didn't understand that Rod Rosenstein was tied in to, you know, Comey and Clapper and Brennan and all these people that went after him from day one, right? From before day one. From almost the day he came down that damn escalator. All right? So he fires he fires him on day one, and then he comes back and fires Comey later. Then there's possibly no Mueller probe. They don't hire Mueller, who's an insider.
Mike, with all due respect, talking about that's not going to fix something for tomorrow. I mean, you know, what if, should have, Trump's not going to, you know, we got to think locally. We can't, Trump's not going to listen to us. The only people that are going to listen to us is us, you know, and the people in our immediate surroundings. That's who we have to branch out to. That's what, you know.
It has to come from all parts of the government, from local, county, state, local, county, state, and national. It has to come from all parts of the government.
Well, I'm curious, a quick question for everybody here. And when it comes right down to, sort of your most local, your county, either your, I'm not in the city limits, so I don't go to the city council meetings, but I am in the county. I go to county commission meetings and things like that. How many times do people on the call here actually go down to the school board meetings? Truthfully, I haven't gone to any school board meetings since I moved to this county, and go get actively engaged and go face these people that are doing this stuff to you. And then when you go and sit there and you face these morons that are on these commissions, and then you say, well, why? Because I did it last time. Because we're talking to them. Why are you blocking us from having a manual count? Oh, you can't do that. It takes too much time. Well, if France can figure it out, I think we can too. But how many people never go to a council meeting or a commission meeting and voice their opinion right to the locals right there? Forget going up to D.C. and up to your state. You don't even deal with the people locally. How many people? I mean, I'm curious as to how many.
Here's the stories. You know. Now, you know I'm politically active, Sally, so, I mean, I'm down there. Come on. But far as everybody else, what are you guys doing? You guys engaging your leaders or what? Or your so-called leaders? Or what are you guys out there doing, man? I mean, are we just blowing smoke up every day?
Here's the deal. We're having problems with, you know, internet and stuff, and we'd like to have, you know, wire, what's that wiring called? The
fiber.
Fiber
optic.
Boy gave me an idea on how to get it, and he said, go to your county council member and crack the whip, you know, and try to crack the whip. And I say, well, we just elected a new county council member for my area, you know, go and crack the whip for my neighborhood. Go and crack the whip. I brought that to some of the people in my neighborhood and saying, they didn't think it was going to work, you know. So even if you do try to get involved and try to suggest something, it all starts with the people, right?
Well, that's it. That's
the
point.
People don't
want
to do it.
You get the government you deserve. We truly have gotten the government we deserve because we've been the deadbeats. Many, not all of us, obviously. The majority of people would rather watch a stupid Super Bowl football game, just like the Occupy the Idiots, the Coliseum. Get let them play their games in the Coliseum and get them drunk while they destroy Rome. That's where we're at. If you how many the same people? I challenge people all the time when it comes to the stupid Super Bowl. For every hour that you watch pro football or baseball or basketball, whatever any of this crap, how many hours do you spend with your kid teaching them what the Constitution is? How many times have you taken your kid to a city commission meeting or a county commission meeting, whatever it may be?
Yeah,
well, they don't do any of that stuff. But going to that darn stupid football game is, you know, that's life or death. They'll pay thousands and thousands for that crap.
I know,
so we
I
get
know,
the government
huh?
we deserve. We get the government we
yep.
deserve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they'll show up. The people on the council will show up at the high school football game or at the high school basketball game or whatever, you know, and do that stuff. But they don't want to.
That's pathetic, guys. That's pathetic, man. That's pathetic. Come on, you guys got brothers and sisters, niece, cousins, friends. You guys should be going down to these county commissioner meetings. Step into your sheriff. Call in the local news agency in your state, your newspaper, you know, be a thorn in their side. I mean, speak out against this stuff. Restore the republic. What? I mean, if you don't
they
know what
they
are making around
me, though, man. They run from me. They run from me.
They fear Ron Reck up there.
Run against them. How many people are, obviously Joe's run for office. I ran for office in Orange County, and I can tell you for a fact they were using the machines at that time, and they flipped votes for the other guy. It was proven. People reported it to the state. They never did a thing about it, and they allowed that guy got elected in a primary that he shouldn't even been. So how many people on this call have run for public office?
Right. Well, I can't say I've ever ran for public office in particular.
Nobody but you and me. That's it, Sally, just you and me.
Right.
So,
well,
I mean, it's all part of the process.
I don't have time for it.
I don't want to be. I have no desire to be in public office. And deep down, I've many times said, well, thank God I didn't get elected to it because it was probably a blessing in disguise. And literally out there on the campaign trail, what do people tell me? You're too honest. You're too honest to be a public official. This is what people think of people in office. So try to change it. But now that was in 2005, and there's things have changed now too. And I have thought about running again, and I may do it. If we have another election after 2024, I may run again. But
I'm going to be in prison. I guess I'll run for council in there.
Yeah. It would have been a lot different had they not played games with the primary, which is what they did in Orange County. This is where I get because I talk a lot about the election process is so corrupt. We do not elect the people of our choice. The system is totally rigged, and it's going to stay rigged until people protest it, really protest it. And I have been in the situations where you fight something at a local level. What they were trying to do with this one area, because the people of that community all came together, you had people standing outside, and they couldn't all fit in the commission rooms. When you're given a total whopping of 3 minutes to speak, they cut you down to 2 minutes. Sometimes they don't even let you talk anymore. They're doing their best. But we all flooded the chambers, and we were there, and we got in their face, and we were able to make a difference. But me going down there by myself and saying, oh, I got all these people who agree with me, that doesn't mean anything. You got to get in their face. You got to shame these people.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. You saw what happened when the people in Virginia went to try to go to their school boards about whatever it was, and they, they're terrorists and all this stuff, right? You know,
that's
and
correct.
They were cutting off their microphones and.
I gotta ask Ron. All right, Ron, did you hear what happened to me today?
No, I did not. What happened to you today? I heard court something.
Well, you remember that DUI charge, right? We talked about that, right? Remember?
Right.
Remember, I'm working undercover, blah, blah, blah. Okay, no, we're not going into that. Well, I went to court today, and my lawyer, I gave him a motion to dismiss. I handed it. Me and him got to a huge argument, and he told me that he entered a guilty plea for me. On my behalf, he says I'm pleading guilty. He ordered me to plead guilty. I told him no, and make a long story short, I walked out of there today. So I probably got a failure to appear. So I was going to go away for 6 months today. That's what was going to happen. I mean, there's a lot of details to the case. I don't want to go all over again. Maybe we talk in private, but basically I'm jammed up right now.
I need to get a hold of me again.
All right.
You got my email, don't you?
No, I don't. I only have you on Facebook. Well, that's it.
Well,
I got your phone number, so text me. So okay, I'll text
well,
you
yeah,
and
you
text it back to me.
Yeah, there you go. All right, yeah.
Okay.
You probably do have failure to appear, but you're going to have to go in. You're going to have to it's going to suck to have to do it.
Really?
You know.
Why can't we get that recused? Get that recused. I mean, I was there today at court. My lawyer showed up. He showed up at lunchtime.
Did the court know you was there?
Oh, yeah. I checked in with the court and everything. And then we were sitting there waiting for my lawyer, and now everybody had left. Everybody left. There was only like one person left in the courtroom, me and like another person. And then my lawyer showed up, and I talked to him in a private room, and then that's when him got to a big argument. He says, I'm going to the courtroom. I said, okay, I'll meet you there, and I left.
why was he pleading guilty? What the fuck?
He won't do nothing for me. He won't. I swear to you, that's what he did. He said, this is what he said to me. He said, I already entered a guilty plea for you. I said, you didn't have no authority to do that. I said, how could you do that? I never pled guilty. I said, I want my jury trial. I said, what are you talking about, man? And, you know, and he says, nope, we're going in front of the judge now. You're going to be sentenced. Hell, I was. Yeah, I'm dead serious. This is what happened today. Yes. I swear to you, that's what happened.
Get a hold of me as soon as you can, and I can help you.
They're corrupt, Ron. Oh. They're corrupt down here. I'm telling you, they're corrupt. They're bad. Kill me. I told you three. I'm in handcuffs.
Yeah,
they beat the hell out of me.
Yeah. That's all right.
I mean, it's bad. It's bad. Sal, are you listening to this? This is how bad this is here in my county.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's exactly. Unfortunately, I can.
It's scary.
The truth doesn't matter. The law doesn't matter. And the only thing I would have said, the only thing I would have probably done if I'd been in that situation, which who knows, you may have been in jail again, but I would have said, my attorney is not acting in my behalf. I told him something different. He's doing something else. I want a trial. So that you made a public record that your attorney was violating your the fiduciary duties for them to represent you, and then also go to
it
the bar.
It only would have been a public record because the district court is not a record of the court. There's no record. There's no transcript. So there's no record. It was a district court. Superior court is a record of the court, but not district court.
Yeah.
So
I would definitely contact
the
bar regardless. So the bar.
I'm not gonna get anywhere, but you know, I'd rather go with Ron. Ron Reck. Hopefully, we can come up with an idea or something to where I'm gonna have to get like this. You know.
You're gonna have to file a couple notices right away. I'm like right the fucking way.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
But
you know, I got a motion dismissed. Listen. Ron, I got a motion to dismiss already typed up and ready to go.
I understand that. You have ineffective counsel now, so you have to attack that. That's got to be your leverage because right now you want – if it's a failure to appear, it's a failure to appear. Don't fucking matter why. You know what I mean? That's how it works. The thing is, you got to get something to that court, like, right away, if not yourself.
But I did appear, though. I did appear. But I did appear on them. They read my name off, you know?
I understand it. They never set another court date, nothing, or you're just there for fucking But you're probably there for
Listen, I showed up at 9 o'clock. I sat there, and they, you know, they did a roll call. Blah, blah, blah. Gibson. I said, Hines. That's the name of my attorney. I said, Hines. And then that was it. And then take my file. Now, my attorney's not there. Okay? He didn't show up. An hour goes by. Another hour. Everybody's done. You know? Finally, I see him in the hallway. And then, you know, and then we go into the little room. We talk. And then he goes, well, I'm going into the courtroom. You know? And I said, all right, I'll be right behind you. And I left. You know, I was getting ready to knock him out, you know?
he may have pleaded Jad, and you didn't even know it. Who knows what he said when he was in there?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Let me get in the beginning. Okay, real quick. You got arrested for a DUI, right?
Correct.
For whatever reason. Okay, I don't care why, what, anything. Okay, you went to court, right? You was in jail. Did you went to court? You pled not guilty,
right? Court.
Okay.
Yeah,
Now, it's a misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor, right?
Right. Level one, minimum. Misdemeanor.
Okay, so it's a bullshit misdemeanor ticket. Okay, so did you have any other any prior hearings before trial, pretrial hearing?
No. Just kept continue. He never showed up. The lawyer would not show up. I paid him, and he stopped showing up. You know. So it kept getting continued.
So there's a record that shows that. You see what I'm saying? Okay, excellent. That's good. Okay, that's great. But you need to notify the court. Call them up. Just call the circuit clerk up and tell them something. You know, so they'll know that you called. At least that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So
start a record.
Right. Always make sure it's always in your favor. Don't give them nothing. Don't give them no information. Just say, you know, I'm saying, you know, my attorney is a whack loon nutcase, crazy bastard. You know, I got to get another counselor. You know, I got another counsel.
Yeah.
You know, can I get a continuance? And if they give you a continuance, judge gives you a continuance, whatever, that's great. But you probably have to file a motion to get it. So that might happen too. But if they can squash that warrant and then, you know, if there's a bench warrant out, get the warrant squashed. And then, you know, please write the file for that.
I got
to
file a motion to recuse. I got to file a motion to recuse the warrant. Motion to recall. That's what it's called. Motion to recall. There's court warrants for that.
Right. Exactly. Right. Now you got it. Right. So, but that would be some of the first things up front. I mean, the lawyer, I don't know why was he was acting on your part at other hearings and didn't inform you that you probably said you didn't have to be present or some shit. Well, something's fucking wrong. You need to take a look at the court docket. You need to take a look at that fucking court docket. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You should be able to do it online. You should be able to see it online.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm sure your state has
The last time we went to court, he wanted me to plead out, and I said no. And so we went in front of the judge, and they said, this is going to be your last continuance, Mr. Gibson. And I said, okay.
Why would you plead out? Was there any way to prove that you were guilty of being intoxicated?
He didn't want to take it to trial. The lawyer, this lawyer's from another county.
I don't care about that. My question is, did you take a field sobriety test? Did you take a BAC, blood alcohol content test?
Ron, you know the story. I'm not guilty. The trooper never saw me in the car. The police report says.
Okay.
The police report says I was coherent and I didn't seem impaired. And I was cooperative. That's what the police report said. That's a slam dunk win.
But I'm saying they didn't. Okay, I understand. Maybe they need more. More is always better than some fucking sense of this, okay? But to be convicted for a DUI, there has to be several different markers to make it be worth filing a charge, first place. One, did you fail the field sobriety test? Two, did you fail the
blood
test?
One.
Three, did you get blood and failed blood content? Then three things right there
sample,
you need to have.
I gave a blood sample,
Right. So, in other words, they had no case. They have no evidence.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying? They have no evidence. Okay, fine. Okay, so we got to that part, right? Now, the lawyer should have done seen this. Like, you ain't got shit. Why would you go and negotiate and just say, fuck you, and we'll see my language. Sorry about that. But that's apparently what happens here, you know.
Ron, they don't like me in this county because I'm a Nazi, remember?
Well,
they don't like me, remember?
Yeah, but see, along with that First Amendment right, you got that right too. Anyway, I'm just saying they can't find you guilty of something you're not guilty of. That's
no kidding.
Bullshit. They've done it. Oh, they've done it many thousands of times. A lot of people. I know. I'm right. I know that, but I'm just saying. I mean, there's thousands of people being convicted that weren't fucking even there, you know, type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, right?
Work. Right. Sometimes, but your case is so easy. There's no actual physical evidence. There's no proof.
No
kidding. Said he was drunk. Okay, well, that's called hearsay. That ain't worth nothing. See, so there's no proof.
He didn't even
there.
See me in the car. Ronnie never saw me in the car.
Man, I'd be looking for a lawyer in your. I would be looking for a lawyer in your area. That could take on the attorney and sue that son of a bitch right off the bat. I would sue him.
I know.
I would. Yeah.
I got to find a lawyer. That's what I got to do.
Ethics violations off the ass. You know what I mean?
No
kidding. I mean, this guy could be just, you can wipe him out due to this. I'm telling you. Have a date with him in the federal court and see how much money he's got.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Little Johnny's not going to college now. Yeah, Jimmy Slick, little Johnny ain't going to college now, so I'm taking your money. You know, some of it.
Man.
You get your law license. Jerk, too. Make you work at McDonald's.
Yeah, this guy's a jerk. This guy's a jerk. You know?
Yeah, just something
I mean,
wrong.
Who is
something
it?
Wrong with
I mean, he argued, Ron, he argued against me to make it sound like I was guilty. I mean, that's how he was arguing with me today in the room. I said, what are you talking about, man? I was going nuts. I was arguing, you know, like we were in this thing.
Well,
we
is he
running
for prosecutor? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I know.
Man. That's not the way
a
prosecutor talks.
Probably a friend of the prosecutor.
Yeah, must be.
Sorry. Hang on. Listen to this, Ron. Listen to this, Ron. Sarge, are you still there? Sarge. I don't know if he's still there or not. Son of a bitch. There's in the statute, Sarge pointed out to me that the state has to notify me within 15 days of my court date of the blood results, and they never did. They never even notified me of the blood results.
Did they take blood?
They took blood. Of course they did. I told you they did.
No, I asked you a question earlier. You said no, they didn't. So
I never had a sobriety test. I never took a breathalyzer test, but yes, I took blood. Yes, they took blood from me.
So okay,
after the fact,
what?
Though, after the fact, after they injected me with the Narcan, remember? Remember the whole story I told you? I made an undercover drug buy. I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going. I stopped.
Right.
I pulled over the side of the road, hanging up political signs. I went in my back of
right.
my car, I was smoking a cigarette, and the stuff that leaked out, it must have leaked out. It's the only thing I could think of. Because why would I feel sick like that? And I was just sitting there,
right.
smoking a cigarette, you know, hanging around, you know, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, the lady goes, blah, 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 knocks on my window. She goes, sir, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. Why? You know? She goes, well, we didn't know because I was parked on the side of the road, you know, hanging up my political signs, you know what I mean? So, you know, I hang on the
right.
side of the road, you know, I pulled off the shoulder. She goes, oh, well, we didn't know, you know, one of these busybody women, you know what I mean, that stands on her porch all day
right.
watching cars go by,
right.
you know, so,
right.
so I said, you know, so she called 911. She thought I got into an accident or I was in trouble or something. I don't know. All of a sudden, an ambulance
right.
pulls
right.
up, you know, and
right.
they go, what's wrong
right.
with you, sir? I said, actually, I'm feeling a little sick, you know, but, you know, that's what I said. I should have never said that. So they go, well, you want us to check you out in the ambulance? I said, yeah, well, all right, no problem, you know, I didn't know. And I hopped up in the ambulance. And I sit down on the little stretcher thing there, and he goes, let me check your blood sugar. He checks my blood sugar on one hand. The other hand, he goes, well, you appear a little dehydrated. It was like 95 degrees that day, you know, and I'm in a suit and tie. And I said, yeah, all right, fine. I take off my suit jacket. He starts the IV. He shoots me up with Narcan, the son of a bitch. Shoots me up with Narcan. You know why he shoots me up with Narcan? He says, I saw a pill bottle in your console. He says, I was on drugs. He said, that's what he said. I said, what the hell are you talking about, man? I said, you see any track marks on my arm? I bench press 450 pounds. You know, I mean, I'm built,
yeah.
you know. I said, you see any track
right.
marks on my arms? I said, I'm not a dopehead. That is what I said afterwards, you know. So anyway, but he shot me up with Narcan, this guy. Right now, the state trooper
right.
shows up, like 25 minutes later, you know. He peeks his head in the door. He goes, is that your car out there, Mr. Gibson? I go, yeah. And he goes, what do you got, guys? He goes, he had a reaction to Narcan. He goes, well, I'm going to arrest you for DUI. That's what the trooper said. He placed me under arrest for DUI. I said, what are you talking about? You never even saw me driving the car. You know? You didn't even see me in the car. And he hesitated for a minute, like he was thinking about it. And then he looked at the ambulance driver and the ambulance guy. And then he said, no, I'm arresting you. And he goes, place your hands behind your back. Blah, 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 get out of the ambulance. And then he takes me back to the ambulance. He goes, I want a blood sample from you. And I said, no, I'm not giving
right.
you no blood sample. He goes, well, I'm still going to arrest you. I said, screw it. I said, well, you know what? I do want to give a blood sample because, you know, what I just did before, I you know what I mean? I said, if, and I'm sitting
right.
there thinking,
I must have been exposed to some of those drugs somehow. That's what made me sick. I mean, if you touch fentanyl, you could die, you know? I mean, so I'm thinking that shit must I must have, you know, got exposed to that
shit. But what was it? That's the question. What was it? What was in your blood?
There was, I don't know. I never got the results back.
See, well, there's no evidence. You got it. Everybody, both sides got to see the evidence. You know, that's the thing. I mean,
I know.
Before you
so
say, oh,
what's getting
lost?
Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? You know what I mean? It just sounds insane, doesn't it?
But it just happens all the time. It's manipulation. It's manipulation at its finest. I'm telling you, man. They do it all the time. You know, when
I thought
court,
I was some chump, you know?
Yeah, when I go to court, you know, they used to think that I was a sovereign citizen type shit, you
Joe, you were running for office at the time, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was hanging up signs. This is back in 2022.
You're a chump. Yeah, that's a setup.
Setup. All right. Yep. And matter of fact, that trooper, he ran for public office, that one that arrested me.
There you go.
I just thought about that. Yep.
Yeah. There you go, man.
Hey,
so,
Joe.
That's another thing.
I would still fight it, though. They're
doing
whatever
they're
going to do to you anyway.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Write down everything that happened to you that day.
I have. I got it.
Have you sent Ron a copy of it?
No, I haven't. But I will if he wants one.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'll email it to you. I mean, if there's something you could think that I'm missing here that I need to file or some way you would attack it, you need to tell me.
Call me on the phone later.
All right. Okay.
Or text. Send me a text, because a lot of times I don't answer my phone during the day because you might be obliged to sell me some fucking insurance or some shit like that. And you're not on air anymore. You're on overtime, so I'm saying with my goddamn wife. So anyway,
I wouldn't be recorded right now, so.
I don't care if you are, Joe. So I believe my First Amendment right. I don't care. I'll fight for it to the end of time. I don't care about your religious Bible thumpers and bullshit. I don't care. You know, I just believe in my right.
I'm a good man now, Ron.
14.